Shave a C and welcome, or not, to the latest 8-4 Play podcast. I'm tired.
I know that feeling.
I'm tired. Yeah. So, but
great way to kick off the podcast,
right?
Yes. Yeah, we're tired.
Yeah,
we're all sleepy. Tired.
I'm hyped up on vitamin water, though. Hopped up on goofballs.
There you
like
go.
Three of the last 47 whatever hours, but I could not miss this very special episode.
It is a very special
episode.
It is because it is not only the greatest, only first, last, best. Tell your friends podcast
Mark,
about
you do sound a little tired.
Japan and games and Japanese games. Not only that, but it is the final podcast with our erstwhile translator and good friend, Sir Brendan Pritchard.
Yes, this will be my last podcast.
No nickname given out of respect.
Oh, come on.
No, that just means I'm already dead to you. I'm not worthy of a nickname.
You're already dead.
Maybe I'm saving it.
Brendan, free to play Pritchard.
Please.
Free to play Pritchard.
There you go. Everyone, please.
I will accept that, I guess.
Save your tears for the end of the podcast.
Yes.
Yes, Brendan, so we can finally tearfully announce that you are leaving us for greener pastures.
That is correct.
You will still be in Japan.
I will still be in Japan. I will still be in Tokyo.
You will still be in Tokyo. Maybe once in a while, if your new evil overlord employers allow it, you could even come back on the podcast.
I would love to. Absolutely.
But
no such thing as greener pastures either. They're just other pastures.
No, I just
this is true. No,
other pastures.
I say
out
that
there.
To be nice. Like, listen, next episode we'll say what we really think about where Brendan's going. But no, in all seriousness, like, you've been an awesome guy to have around. I just want to say at the top of the episode, like, seriously heartfelt, like, all our best and good luck, and
thank you
you for everything.
It's
like,
it's been a total blast here.
We kicked ass on some games.
That's
we did some good ones. Fire Emblem, they can never take that.
That's
can never take that away from
my
us.
Name is on my name is on that.
That's right.
No denying that.
Put your name on it.
Yes.
I think, as somebody annoying once said. In honor of that, and also because I'm tired and was doing other shit, you get to give nicknames to the other people besides me, your host,
no,
Mark
that's
Gaming
incorrect.
Jesus McDonald.
No, you get one too.
You get one as well.
Give these other losers some kind of pithy nickname.
I tried. I was only informed of this like an hour ago, so I had to scrape
secret,
by.
Little secret. We come up with the nicknames usually about 5 to 10 minutes
that's
before
true.
The podcast, if that.
Yeah.
Sometimes while I'm walking over to the podcast table, actually to our luxurious podcast booth that we have
right.
in
that's right.
8-4 Towers, the,
yes.
our podcast wing, I guess you might call
right.
it.
It is technically a wing,
right?
It is.
Walls red velvet, walls velvet. You know,
yeah, we're one of those people. I mean, we have an office to record a podcast in. I mean, it's luxurious.
Yes.
We are luxuriating here.
I'm gonna miss.
You are gonna
this,
miss it.
I'm gonna miss this place.
You're gonna miss it when you're gone, man.
I am.
You're gonna miss it.
I will.
All right. So
and
yeah,
tears are coming already.
Let's hear. Let's hear.
All right,
give us those nicknames.
Let's start with to the right of Mark.
Yes.
Yay.
Justin J.J. Epperson.
Oh,
wait.
That's it?
Wait, that's it?
That's actually his real name.
No, the J.J. Right. part's not actually
do-over.
Real.
Okay.
All right. That's all right. It's do-over.
Justin.
Yes.
The Parrot Epperson.
Oh, yeah.
Actually,
why is that?
Why?
Because he repeats everything that was just said before him.
Yes.
He did it in the last podcast to me, and then a couple days ago at lunch, Mark gave a very well thought argument on a topic that I can't remember, and immediately afterward,
it was well thought.
It was about dark. It was something. It was dark. It was something about something was like Dark Souls.
Right.
I agree, and that's
which
why
is my argument for everything.
That's why I
and
said that.
Immediately afterward, JJ said almost word for word the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Great minds. Great minds.
As we all stared at him.
Great minds.
You've done it on the podcast like 3 times, where I can tell you're just waiting.
It's not a great mind.
I said was that I'm like the Charlie Brown's teacher, where I'm just like, wah, 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 and you're just like watching my lips move and waiting for them to stop, and then it's like, now's my chance.
No, it's more like I'm just like totally zoned out, and then all of a sudden, like, I snap out of it. I'm like, hey,
you're so high half the time you're here. You don't even know
seriously,
where you are.
Yeah. I have that vitamin water.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Sitting across from him is Hiroko Eternally 20 Minamoto.
Excellent choice. I would have gone there. I'd give that one my blessing, because if I was doing nicknames, I would have given that
Forever 21.
Really?
Perfect. Forever That's 21. What I would have gone. Like I said.
I like to pretend that store doesn't exist. No, I'm just kidding. But Hiroko, her birthday is on Saturday. So
yes,
happy
it is.
Birthday.
Everyone, hey. Please, Thank as you. You're listening to this, it's probably, if it's Friday in the West, it's Saturday in
right.
Japan. So you can wish Hiroko happy birthday at our Twitter account.
Happy 21st.
Yes, happy 21st birthday at our Twitter account. You should give it now because you have to go and do
That's
busy,
true.
Crazy
That's
stuff right. for yeah. crazy stuff we are doing. Uh-huh. So what is your Twitter?
My Twitter account is Hiroko84.
Right.
Yes. I'm turning 21.
She's yes. turning 21.
How do you feel about, well, you could drink as of last year
I know,
in Japan
and I could drink,
and
I could
smoke,
and yeah.
How does it feel to be turning 21?
Freedom is great.
Yeah. You can't rent a car, though.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I still have to wait.
Yeah. The sad thing is, though, your mother put too many candles on your birthday cake. Remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
What are you talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about, Brendan.
Must have been my mistake.
And finally,
not
finally,
not
finally.
There's two
Wait,
more.
Wait, what?
To Hiroko's right is John, the official podcast expediter, Ricciardi. Because before every podcast, we have to get started. I can't stay late today. That's every,
right.
pretty,
my
much,
fault.
Yes. Pretty much every podcast.
The only reason that this podcast is not like
7 hours,
and a half hours long is
right.
because
John is fulfilling a very important role.
That's right. Silly errands. He has like Hatsune Miku. Hatsune Miku. Just like Miku. Yes. Just like Miku.
I got a date with Miku.
YouTube that. Domino's yes. Miku.
Domino's Miku, yeah.
Don't be sorry.
And who's the last one, Brendan?
And finally, across from
the anchor.
John.
The anchor.
That is your role. That is
on which the podcast is built.
Those may be your roles, but those aren't your nicknames.
Atlas podcast on his shoulders.
Mark.
Yes.
Call a search party, McDonald.
Call a search party.
Because over the past couple weeks, I almost always come into the office and see Mark and Hiroko gone. And when I ask people where they are, it's like, I think they're at a meeting. When are they coming back? I have no idea.
Yes.
And then sometimes you never do come back. You're just gone for an entire day.
What?
And
really?
Like, does Mark...
They don't tell us
where there have been days.
Yes.
Really?
There have been days when you've been gone.
There
was
like
one
day. Days? Yeah. Really?
Yes.
I haven't had a day off in like...
You didn't have a day off.
You weren't having a day off. You just weren't in the office.
What the hell was I doing?
Meetings
after meetings.
Oh, really?
And none of us
meetings on meetings on meetings.
Yeah, and none of us had any idea where you were. And I'd ask John, and he'd be like, "I think they're at a meeting. I don't know if they're coming back."
I got some shit going on, man.
Yes.
I can't
busy
talk
man.
About, but
so, busy man.
Hence, call a search party, at McDonald.
Thank you very much. Well, that's the
good
well
work
done,
there, Brendan.
Well done. Maybe I had to pass along the nickname baton a little more often.
Yeah. Now. Share it around.
Yes.
Brendan, in honor of your final show, why don't we kick off the what have you been playing recently?
Certainly.
Section of the podcast, especially since you have actually been playing a lot.
I've been playing those video games.
Yes, especially that Vita console system.
The reason why I've been playing...
Must be smoking. Like, it must like be...
This past weekend, it was basically... I spent the entire weekend sitting on my couch playing my Vita and switching in multiple memory cards because the games are all across.
That's just how you roll,
that's
man.
Just, I'm just cool that way.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
But the other reason is because... And I think...
He's got, like, a holster, like like Mexican like bandoleros.
Like those Japanese photographer guys that, like, walk around Akihabara with the little vests.
Right, right. Yeah, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. I gotcha. Okay. I was like, I don't know where you're going, but I think, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a war photographer.
Right.
Basically.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A bandolier.
Yeah. That too.
But the reason for it
I think the bandolier was more funny, but anyway.
The reason for it is, at least in Japan, I'm pretty sure this is not in the West right now, is basically all Vita owners get a free PlayStation Plus membership for 15 days right now.
Right.
Oh, really?
All Vita owners do. And right now, Dokoro, Virtue's Last Reward are free. You can just download them. And
the Japanese versions.
The Japanese versions, yeah.
No shit. Those are PlayStation Plus games.
You can download them for free. You can play them for free, at least as long as your PlayStation Plus.
So that must be Japan's equivalent of the... Because we all got $10 free on the US PSN, which
was
so really
did
nice.
You guys all get... Did you guys get that?
Yeah, I got it. On my US account.
Really?
Nothing on the Japanese
account. Okay, I haven't checked my account yet, but I was...
You gotta check it before it's...
You gotta
so
check
good
your
anymore.
Messages.
Oh, shit. I'll be right back.
Yes, right now. Oh, my God.
I actually think it's too late. I think it was to the 5th of this month.
That's a car starting sound. Okay.
Did you hear me, though?
No, I didn't.
It was to the 5th of this month, I think you had to
what?
Claim it.
Yeah. No way, really?
I think so.
You guys totally failed me.
What?
Yes.
It was like all over Twitter.
No.
I think we even had an article about it on this podcast.
Maybe.
I gave it to you.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But notwithstanding, nobody made sure that I got that. That's what we have interns for, Tom.
I am not your nanny.
What the fuck, man? That's what this is. This is what we have interns for.
Poor Tom.
What we have interns for.
He has no idea what we're talking
about. Ladies and gentlemen,
right,
that's
now.
Tom. Interns aren't allowed to have last names. They surrender them when they become interns. That's Tom of 8-4.
Tom of 8-4.
Say hello to the nice people.
Hello.
All right.
Hello.
So,
anyway, starting with Dokuro, I guess. Dokuro is.
Is it Dokuro or Dokuro?
Dokuro.
Is that a ku or ko?
It's a ku.
Okay,
it's Dokuro. Dokuro. And
which means skull,
it
right?
just means skull.
Skull.
Yeah. And
Japanese.
As far as I can tell, it has no Western release announced or anything, despite the fact that the game is fully localized in English. You can switch the language to English.
No shit.
Really?
And a whole bunch of other languages, too. And it's there.
Is there much story? So it's like it looks like a puzzle platformer kind of in the realm of Limbo. If I had to elevator pitch it, Limbo meets Eco, where you're
exactly okay. you guide a princess through 2D stages performing various little tasks, and the princess is completely helpless,
and it's so stylized black and white.
It's all done in chalk.
Black and white
is the style. It's all written in chalk, and you control a little skeleton who has decided to turn against the Dark Load, I mean Dark Lord.
Yes.
Because in
Dark
a
Load.
In a
trailer.
Article, and a trailer.
Yeah.
They wrote the name of the enemy as
that's
the
a much
boss's
better name,
Dark
actually.
Load.
That's a much better name.
Yeah. That is a pretty
is it like that in the English?
Final boss name,
I think,
actually.
I'm pretty sure the Dark Lord is never referred directly to in the English. I didn't see it.
I got to get the Dark Load Twitter account and
Dark
like,
Load.
Xbox Live name right before we put this podcast up, because somebody's going to grab that. That's too awesome.
Yes. But so the little skeleton decides that he's fallen in love with the princess. He's going to save her from the Dark Lord's castle. He was originally one of the Dark Lord's followers.
Okay.
And you guide her through various little stages. You can use the touch screen on the Vita to draw chalk strings that form chords.
Okay.
Which you can then connect to objects, and the objects will swing on the screen, and you can use that to help the princess over various...
So it's kind of like a physics puzzle platformer?
It's physics puzzle platformer. You also have the ability to transform from the ugly little skeleton guy into a hero, into a prince with a crown, and that's the only form where you can actually carry the princess over obstacles.
Story-wise, why is that happening? Do you know?
He finds a potion.
Oh, so it's not like he was once a prince.
No.
Okay.
He finds a potion in the castle that lets him do that.
I gotta know the fiction. I gotta know.
No,
yeah.
it's important.
All right.
Mark McDonald, big lore buff.
Yes.
But
I'm into the Dokuro lore, mostly.
Yeah.
Not so much the games.
And it's very much puzzle-based. It's a puzzle-based 2D platformer.
Right, yeah. So I watched a trailer, and it very much reminded me of Limbo in a lot of ways.
So it's 2D side-scrolling.
Correct.
Right.
It's 2D side-scrolling.
Puzzle platformer.
You have a sort of health bar. There are enemies, and one of the things about the enemies is if there are any enemies on the screen, the princess will just run away. So you have to make sure to clear away the enemies using various traps, etc.
Oh, the princess can't... If the princess runs off screen, you've lost or something?
No, she just won't proceed any further.
Oh, okay.
And the goal is to get her to the end of the stage.
Right.
So if she sees an enemy, she'll just run away.
Can the enemies attack her?
I think she runs away before they can, unless she gets trapped, and then they can kill her.
Oh,
and
if
she dies, the level restarts.
She dies.
So the puzzles... Clever, not clever, fun, responsive controls. Give me some value judgments on...
The puzzles are interesting. I mean, they remind me a lot of the puzzles in Limbo. Not quite as hard, but definitely a lot of physics puzzles.
Right.
It
looked more action-y than Limbo in general.
You do fight enemies and do stuff like that. So it's more action-y, but there are also like little twists. Like there's one level where there's flames coming from the ground, and obviously you have to...
I've seen this before.
You have to clamp down on it so that the princess can cross. But what you don't realize is that when you clamp down on it, that platform gets hot. And if the princess is still standing on it, she'll just die.
Oh.
And you don't realize that until after you've made the mistake once. And it's like, because you think it's not quite as simple as it looks.
Is it like Limbo in that way too, where there's a lot of like, okay, you wouldn't have known this going through the first time, you just die, but then you quickly start right back where you were?
Quite as much as Limbo, but definitely that feel where you're going to mess up, the princess is going to die, and right. then you jump back into the beginning of the stage. And the stages themselves are usually just like one puzzle that you are working on.
Oh, okay. So the stages are really short, bite-sized?
They're extremely short, yeah.
Oh, is it like, it's not like a one-screen stage,
Like a one-screen, okay. but it's usually like a one theme. Like yeah. you're saving the princess from pistons that will smash her.
Okay.
And there'll be maybe like four or five. And then once you get to the end, that's the end of the stage. If you do the stages correct, I don't think any stage would take longer than a minute or two.
Do them correct.
Yes. Yeah. And there are also bosses.
Yes, which I saw some of the bosses are in color too, which a lot of they're in color. Are black and white, so they kind of stick out.
They're in color, and they're a lot of fun too, because obviously your little skeleton guy, you can't actually damage them directly, but you use the environment to trap them or to force them to damage themselves, etc.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
And it's a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it.
Is this game new, I guess, or
it came out a while ago.
It came out a couple months ago. It was announced around the time the Vita
came out.
You're sure there's no English version or
I
Western
searched
version?
Online and it didn't come up
super low key. Yeah. I had heard of it too and seen something a while ago, but kind of had forgotten what exactly it was. So but yeah, some of these games like are really like it's really easy for some pretty interesting games to fly under the radar.
I was actually very impressed. I was not all that interested in the game to begin with, but because it was free, I thought I'd pick it up. And I was impressed.
Did you play through it?
I haven't beaten it, but I played through the first couple full stages. So beyond the boss, through bosses and everything.
Seem very long in general. Like
It looks like it's out in the West.
Oh, is it?
Wikipedia says it came out in October. So as Dokuro.
Okay.
I don't know if that's necessarily true, but that's what it says here.
Okay, I did a search online. I didn't find anything in English, but I could be wrong. But it has an English translation already.
Well, Wikipedia says you're wrong.
Well, check that shit out.
Yeah,
see if it says it's on PlayStation Plus in America or not. But meanwhile, let's keep talking about
next
Vita goodness.
Up was Virtue's Last Reward.
Yes.
In Japanese, Zennin Shibodes, which means good people die.
Yeah,
which is an awesome title.
Yeah. Virtue's Last Reward is so weird that I kind of like it. It sticks in your name, but good people die is fucking awesome.
It's name. Virtue's Last Reward, I hear it.
Virtue's Last Resort is like DLC where they wear bikinis.
Every time I hear it, I just don't. I don't know what it is, but. Right. Good people die just sounds like interesting.
Like that strikes you as I want to know what this game is about.
Yeah.
So this is a visual novel in Japan. It's very popular in the West as well. I think it came out also on the 3DS.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It won a lot of awards for story. And one of the cool things about it is most visual novels are just basically text based. You read the story, you make decisions, you change the aspects of the plot.
You date this girl and then you bone her at the end.
Yes.
That's
this one
that you're playing.
This game actually is a combination of that, the visual novel part, not the bang the girl at the end part.
Yeah. I believe you said bone, Brendan.
Yes. Close enough.
Dokuro, the girl at the end.
And it's one of these popular escape games where you're placed in rooms and you have to use items and objects in the room, as well as decipher codes.
These are becoming a thing.
They are becoming a thing.
Yes, and escape games.
And one of the other games I'm playing is actually probably in the same genre.
Yes.
But I really, really like how Virtue's Last Reward does the escape games, because you have party members, so to speak, other characters from the visual novel with you at all times. And they're the ones who provide color commentary on the items and the room that you're in.
Hmm.
Sometimes funny, making jokes about how the room is, and sometimes actually giving you real advice where, you know, I think I saw a keyhole on the other side. Maybe you could use the key you just got over there.
Are you moving around in a first-person perspective?
It's first-person perspective, and you use the Vita touch screen.
Okay.
You double tap in locations to zoom in. You can open up an item screen, and in the item screen, you can manipulate items. You can combine items.
Okay.
There's a room early on, which is modeled after a bar, and one of the puzzles involves mixing drinks based on clues.
Mm-hmm.
Provided in the room.
What's the fiction reason why mixing drinks gets you out of a room? Like somebody just watching you and then bing, the door opens? Or
in a nutshell, it's all a test. It's a game that someone is playing with you. Though the fiction reason within the room is that you find a scrap of the bartender's journal,
mm-hmm.
and he writes about his customers.
Something very Resident Evil-esque. Yeah.
he writes about his customers, and in the journal are clues as to what drinks the customers want. Right. And you use those, you submit those, so to speak. And yeah. if they're correct, then you proceed to the next part of the puzzle.
And so are you playing the same person through the yes. thing? Okay, so
you never actually see him.
Yeah.
There's art for him, but you never actually see him. It's all first person, and you just see the faces.
You see his arm.
Right, you see his arm with the band that the band that all of the participants have.
So the start of it is you wake up in this room with another person, and you have like what looks kind of like a watch right. on your hand. You have no idea. You don't know how you got there.
You don't know how you got there. No one else you encounter. You encounter the person next to you who becomes your partner throughout the game. Yeah. Her name is Fi, and she is basically the heroine of the game, the second main character.
Right.
And you meet all the other people. None of them know why they've been dropped in here.
Sounds kind of Gantz-esque.
Yeah, I was thinking Gantz-esque. Well.
I kept thinking of the movie Cube, actually.
Right, I was gonna reference that also. So you get out of one room and then you're right into the next room, or do you pass out again and then wake up in another?
After you get out of the first room, you find yourself in a larger area where all of the other, I guess you could all call them test subjects, have gathered.
It really sounds like Gantz.
And then they're all talking to each other, being, you know, trying to figure out what's going on.
Right.
And there is an MC, so to speak.
Ah, yeah.
Which takes the form of a little cute little bunny rabbit.
Of course, very Saw.
Yeah.
The voiceovers are Japanese.
The voiceovers are Japanese,
but they're
pretty good acting.
Well, in the you're playing the Japanese version.
I'm playing
the
Japanese version,
even in the English version.
Oh, they are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the acting is good. The writing is, I think, snappy, at least in the Japanese. And the plot is interesting. I mean, this is kind of cool.
Sounds like an interesting setup, you know, even so we're comparing it to all these other things. But it does sound, I mean, for a video game, like, it sounds pretty
It's an interesting unique. Setup. And I like the fact that I'm not personally a visual novel person. But the fact that it's mixed up with these sort of exploration/escape areas.
Right.
Really does goes far into keeping the game addictive.
Is there a threat? Is there something counting down? Is there like spikes in the ceiling coming down? Is the thing on your wrist counting down, or what's going on? Like
Vita battery.
Is there something you have to do it quick, or else you're gonna die? Is there something?
Usually
threat?
the AI character makes some veiled threat about how if you take too long.
Okay.
Like for example, you start the game in an elevator.
Yeah,
and that literally the first thing you do is you wake up and you see you're in an elevator shaft, and when the little AI character appears the very end after he tells them, now you have to figure out how to get out of this elevator, la 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 la. By the way, if you wait too long, I'm going to snap the elevator cable and you're going to fall to your death.
Okay,
good luck.
Okay. yeah. Does he laugh like that after he says good luck too?
He sort of giggles. Yeah. I mean, he's a rabbit. I don't know.
Well, and the guy who made that game, and also 999,
yes.
the previous version, is going to be doing a speech at GDC.
Yeah.
Uchikoshi Kotaru. Yes. Kotaro. I can't say his name.
But those GDC speeches are always translated so horribly.
Yeah.
You never understand what's being said.
Funny,
John.
You should say that, Mark.
What?
Because this year, what? Like last year, 8-4 will be handling the interpretation of the Japanese speeches at Game Developers Conference.
You're kidding.
That's wonderful.
So you will actually be able to understand them.
In that case,
wait, was this whole thing a setup for this advertisement we're doing right now?
No, we do these things
I
on
honestly
fly,
didn't
actually.
Know until right now that yes. we were...
Yeah, actually, we are. Yeah.
And he's doing a talk called Visual Novels, Narrative Design in Virtue's Last Reward. So,
yes. So this game...
Look forward to that.
If you want to know what he's talking about, you want to play this game. One thing I should mention, though, is that a lot of people on Twitter were telling me that it is a direct sequel to 999.
Right.
So
Nine Doors, Nine Something,
right.
People. Nine Something Else. Nine
so lives. If you play this game first, there'll be parts of it that you won't quite understand because you haven't played the original game. I'm
right.
still going to play it anyway.
Right.
But just anyone who wants to go out and play it now, be aware that it is a sequel to another game.
Okay. Hey, Hiroko, you should come back over here and we should talk about GDC briefly. We don't get these kind of golden opportunities. We never talk about ourselves on
yeah,
this podcast.
Right?
This will be
the only time on this podcast where we get to talk about ourselves.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. So we're doing everything we just talked about, but we all got some other hot
people.
Sessions.
Hot.
Coming
okay, I
up.
I should have brought my list.
I got
but,
it.
You
all
do.
Right here.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't even know that last guy was here.
Let's say,
yeah,
let's say the games.
Igor-san's one of the people that we organized.
Nigoro.
Yeah, Nigoro.
La Mulana.
Not Cave Story, but they made La Mulana.
Just go along with it.
But yeah,
and
the guys
Marvelous,
who made La Mulana.
People from the COO, I think, from... No, COO from Marvelous.
He's giving a talk on RPGs.
Yeah.
And you might know him from such games as...
A bunch of RPGs. You know, the Image Epoch games and the Marvelous stuff. They've been making a big RPG
Harvest
push.
Moon. Harvest Moon. There we go. Yeah.
And then...
Speaking of RPGs, action-y RPGs that awesome people localized.
With dragons.
Yes, with dragons. And other dragons, not Fire Emblem. Uh-huh. Not that one. I know people were screaming into their podcast radio.
Right now, Fire Emblem, I love you. So Capcom.
Yes.
So the director of Dragon's Dogma, Itsuno-san, will be speaking as well.
Who's previously did a bunch of the Devil May Cry games.
He did the Devil May Cry 3.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the president of Gung-ho's Japan office, Morishita-san, will be giving...
If you like Puzzle and Dragons.
You like Puzzles and Dragons.
That guy's probably entire wardrobe is made of $100 bills, I'm pretty sure. They make like $1 million a day.
Or gold, bricks of gold.
Yeah, that guy farts money.
Mr. Kataoka from Crispy.
Yes.
Crispies, made Tokyo Jungle.
Tokyo Jungle.
Tokyo Jungle.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll be giving a speech too.
Yeah.
Seriously, they're going to be good ones. I'm pretty much down to all of them except for Puzzle and Dragons. Excited about them. Puzzle and Dragons, I probably should be and maybe will be when I know more about
them.
Uh-huh. The game is legit.
I know other people will be.
They're not only talking about the game, but like the whole system and everything. Yeah. So it should be a very interesting
Puzzle and Dragons is like the Angry Birds of Japan. It's on everybody's cell phone.
Yeah. I mean, it's popular in the West.
I see it. Like whenever someone's holding up a sign,
That's enough.
He sees it everywhere.
Let's not pour it on
in his dreams.
I'm just saying.
I know.
I guess you guys already mentioned this, but not only that these speaks are happening, but they are going. You are going to be able to understand 100% because you're going to be interpreting.
That's right.
So
we're going to kick the asses out of their speeches. And you know, somebody will probably be in the back. You should stop by and say hi to us in the booth. If you happen to make it to GDC, that's happening at the end of this month, thereby closing the advertorial part of our podcast. Awesome. Thanks.
Awesome.
Yes. Thanks, Hiroko.
So
back to Vigigames,
yes.
Brendan, and you're smoking Vita, which is melting in your hands being played more than all of our other Vitas combined every weekend.
And starting today, it's even going to be worse because Soul Sacrifice just came out today.
Oh, shit.
But I can't talk about that because it's not out because I haven't played it yet.
Are you downloading it or are you...
I got the dual pack.
I was going
to
say.
With our former intern, David.
Oh, so are you going to meet him tonight to swap souls?
There's actually a sad story about that. Amazon delivered it this morning before I woke up.
Uh-oh.
And they left before I woke up.
So now David can't play Soul Sacrifice tonight because of you, Brendan.
Because of me.
This is the problem with the dual pack system.
Yeah. Yes.
It's like jumping out of an airplane with another human being. Like that other person has to be responsible or else you're both.
This is how lifelong rivalries
not playing
are born.
Soul Sacrifice.
Then again, this game is Soul Sacrifice. I sacrifice David for my sleep.
There you go. That's
I'm getting him used to what's going to happen when we play together.
So you should explain real fast. We talked about it before on the podcast, but this is an interesting thing that I think is going to be happening with more and more games. It's already happens digitally with a lot of games, but like buying a physical copy of a multiplayer Monster Hunter-esque game, like Soul Sacrifice, and you can buy these, you know, a single game as you normally would for pretty much the going retail price, but for just a little bit more. You get the second copy because they realize you got to be playing this with a friend.
Exactly. Yeah.
And they've been doing that here for a couple of years now. Like Earth Defense Force, I think, started it. But Falcom does it. And now these guys are doing it. And it's smart. It's especially smart on Vita where games aren't really selling to begin with. So it's like just a way to get people to buy more copies.
It's a really
of the
good
game.
Thing to do when you're like games on sale on Steam. Sometimes they'll offer like a Torchlight pack where you can get four copies of the game.
Oh,
That's in Steam, like people are ending up with like, I got six copies of Doom 3. Who wants that? I don't really want this. How much more was it? Is that like another third more? I know it's all in yens, but just tell people just
think
to get an idea.
Like the regular going price was like 5,000 something yen, so about $60.
Right, and this
was like $70. It was
okay, so almost 6, another half, yen.
But half. You divide that in half because David's gonna pay me back. I hope you are. And we only paid like 35 each. Cool. So like $40 each. So it's definitely cheaper. Hmm. And we also got a special, you get a special spell. Ooh. Because you bought the dual pack.
Well-a-dee-da.
Is it a spell that you can only do with your friend?
I don't think so.
That would be cool if you had to like Wonder Twins power activate that shit.
Turn into buckets of water.
Well, that's coming out in English in April. Yes. So, you know, that's actually a game where I played the Japanese demo and I stopped because there's so much dialogue. Well, not dialogue, but there's just so much story in that game that it's like, I'm going to enjoy this. Yeah, I could read this if I struggle through the Japanese, but like I'm going to actually enjoy this if I play it in English, assuming it was localized good. So I'm going to wait for the English version in April.
Cool.
I mean, the game does take place through the interface of a book, so there is a lot of writing.
So it's and it's important that the writing is good. So
yes.
Sadly, with you leaving, we may never hear anything more about Soul Sacrifice unless you come back or any other games as the person who actually plays games on this podcast.
I play games on this podcast.
Oh, sure you do. So wrapping up, another Vita game,
Phantasy Star Online 2.
Your cup runneth over.
Yes.
Your Vita runneth over. Phantasy Star Online 2, which, one moment, sidebar, what the fuck is going on with PSO2 in the West?
Have they announced anything?
Good question.
They showed it at PAX.
Okay. In English or
September?
Japanese?
In English.
No way, really?
Yes.
Whoa.
PC version. I don't know that they've announced the Vita version even ever formally coming to America, but the English PC version announced for spring. It is now spring.
What's going on, Ethan?
There is no release date at all. Nothing.
Strangely silent.
Game comes out here now on Vita, free to play.
Crazy number of people playing the
game in Japan.
Now.
Yeah, I got it. We got it in news. I think it's like 1.7 million or something crazy. It's doing really well. It's one of Sega's bigger success stories recently.
1.7 million across all platforms, right? Obviously, not just Vita.
No, this is like just PC. This is registered users. PC. So this is like before this week. This is announced with the Vita thing. So I don't think this has Vita numbers in it. But that's just Japan.
I read on Hachimo, which is a major video game portal site for Nichan News, that apparently the number of accesses to Phantasy Star Online servers were like 1.5 times what they usually were. Mm-hmm. I mean, over
after
double
the Vita launch.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I should say 2.5 times.
Gotcha.
After the Vita launch, so the number of people on the servers doubled.
They had to add a couple servers. I
mean, because everyone with a Vita is going
to
download it.
If you own a Vita
it.
In Japan, the game is free, and you have nothing to play almost anyway, so you're going to download it like right away.
So Vita, we say that, but then again, like Brennan is. There's like all these games that none of us have played that are on Vita. Vita's in a weird situation.
But
there's not
still,
new big AAA
like 10
exciting games
on Vita worth
that's
playing though.
True.
Like, you know, it's
anyway.
Little Star, he got those games for free. That's why he was playing them.
Well, that's true. But then again, that's like there if you step back and are like, okay, I'm on Desert Island. I think that it's more a perception problem where I agree there's not new big AAA original content that you can't get anywhere else. There's not a ton of that on Vita.
Right.
But there, you know, there is enough to justify it as a system. It needs big tentpole titles.
Right.
Anyway, what the hell were we talking about?
Phantasy Star Online 2.
So you just downloaded it. I guess?
Just downloaded it.
Why is anybody buying it? If you can,
You can buy it.
There's a card.
You can buy a card version. Apparently, the card version is region free for anyone who has a Western Vita.
There you go.
All
Vita games are region free.
Right, but you can't download it from the West. So if you're someone with a Western Vita, and you want to play Phantasy Star Online 2, you can't download it from.
Right, that goes for every Vita game though. If you stop and think about it, actually, all Vita games are. You can pick the card version of the Japanese one and play it on a US Vita. It's just the download versions that you can't get to unless you're in the actual store.
Correct, but anyone who wants to play Phantasy Star Online 2, you can play it even if you're a Western.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying it was a weird thing where you could actually put the card in even if you're US.
No.
Okay. The other weird thing about PSO2 is I believe it's the English version is done and has been done, and it's just. I don't know what's going on.
That's really weird.
I don't know what's going on.
Sega,
what is going on, Sega?
It's a lot of fun.
I mean, Sega is so on the ball always.
With everything.
As long as
I can remember.
Shocking.
Understand, I mean, always. Historically, this is kind of a weird, I don't know. It's kind of a weird aberration, but.
Maybe Gearbox is working on it.
So. A good friend of the show, Mr. James Milkey, is very excited about this game.
Yes.
I mean, we're all excited about it, but he's actually saying, I'm playing it. It's fucking like, fantastic. It's really good. JJ, you kind of dabbled in it a little
bit. Yeah, I'm not feeling the hype. I think it's like a, hey, I got something to play on my Vita sort of deal. Like,
yeah,
like,
you get that a lot.
That game, PSO.
You gonna take that from him?
Brandon? PSO is a game that is...
That said, I don't think you played it. I don't think you played it enough to really.
I played it for a few hours, and it was just like
you played it for a few hours.
Yeah, I mean, a good 5, 6, 7 hours.
You're a Monster Hunter fan, and you say that you can play it for a few hours.
Whoa, let's. I'm gonna just let you say that, Brendan. But let me just tell you, you do not know what the fuck you're talking about.
He's taking pity on you because this is your last day. No, that's a good point.
No, it is not, because Monster Hunter takes a long time to learn the controls. PSO is like very simple, click, click,
right,
click.
Play. Okay, but as an MMO, Monster Hunter is an MMO, but MMO, MMLOP, but as a game, like these type of games normally take an investment.
I've played WoW.
I mean, you didn't get a mag, right?
No,
that takes time before that part even opens up.
Did you have a Dreamcast mag, JJ?
No, I didn't.
Oh, that's what I thought.
I did have an Ethernet adapter for my Dreamcast, though.
I did.
Anyways,
you can sell that shit for.
The thing is that it's just very grindy, and like you're fighting the same one monkey enemy for hours.
Is this true, Brendan?
It's true up until the first.
Big monkey.
The problem with the game is that when you complete your first couple missions, completing them once isn't quite enough to get you to the level you need to be to get to the next mission. You actually have to repeat the first couple missions several times.
Oh, right from the start?
Right from the start. And that is a PSO negative thing.
But the first couple missions should be like where you're like, oh, yeah, now I'm going to do the next thing. You got to fall in love with it before you start doing the levels a bazillion times each.
But once you get to like the fourth mission, you're around a level 10 or so, that's when you start reaching what are called multi-party missions, where the dungeons aren't instanced anymore.
Right.
You are thrown into a battlefield with a bunch of other people and other parties.
At TGS a little bit.
When the game is like, all right, we're not going to be Mr. Nice Guy anymore. We're going to throw really, really hard shit at you.
I did that stuff too, though. It wasn't that bad, and it was just kind of like more of the same sort of enemies.
And there are also quests in the game where your ship, the ship that you're riding on, gets attacked.
He's just totally ignoring.
I'm going to ignore.
I'm sorry. And there's
go
just,
ahead. No, keep
and there's
going,
not
Brendan.
A lot of variety in the weapons.
Keep going. Just you can talk right over him while he's talking.
Where the ship gets attacked, and then you have a time limit where you and everyone else who's decided to take this ship defense mission.
Yeah.
You have it's something like 10 minutes. To kill off a certain number of these
monkeys.
vaguely alien-esque looking
the spider things,
oh, simian creatures,
spider things, and then giant tank versions of them,
the
and
spiders,
like humans but like less.
Sounds like PSO's version of Gen Moron or something. And
dude, you just triggered like a repressed memory that I have of Phantasy Star Universe.
Oh god, that game was
Jesus
garbage.
Christ, where the ship gets god. Okay,
but it was when I took those ship missions was when I realized, wow, this game is actually a lot of fun.
Really. So how far into the game was that, like hour 8 or so?
More like hour 4 or hour 5.
JJ, did you remember this?
No, I don't. I didn't do anything out in the
too busy grinding monkeys.
It was a lot of monkeys and going out into the same fields. Monkeys
after that mission was when I gained enough levels to get the mag, and I have a mag now.
I want a mag. Awesome. I'm definitely going to play it. Yeah. I just haven't got to it yet.
They should give you mag from the start, first of all.
Yeah,
totally. PSO was that way where you were grinding those first few levels.
Games have evolved.
But games have, like there's a lot more out there like it to choose from now.
Right. So. And one problem this game has especially is that you're dropped into the game, they fling all these tutorials at you, but that just ends up confusing you even more.
Japan.
Yeah.
And the ship itself has like 20 shops in it. The number of shops in this game, like, I didn't even know what some of them were for until I took, like, an hour and just walked through the ship and be like, okay, what do you sell me? What do you sell me?
To be fair, PSO was like that, too. Like, I didn't understand what I had to have people tell me what to do in PSO before I figured it out, because it wasn't intuitive.
Shop 1, 2, 3, always, like...
Yeah, but it wasn't, like, up until then, if you hadn't played a game like that before, really, like, the way you dealt with shops in RPGs wasn't really the same as PSO. Like, I don't remember the details of it now, because it's been so long, but I remember, like, you'd have to do certain things at certain shops in PSO, and it was like, oh, I would have never known that if the guy I'm playing with didn't tell me, which is like probably you or something.
Like, you have to enhance weapons at one shop.
And again, that's a positive feature of Monster Hunter, right? We talk about that as like a plus of Monster Hunter. It's like, oh, you don't know it until somebody tells you about it.
Yeah, but that's, to be fair though, that's usually like, well, no, okay, you're right. It's hard to draw a comparison there.
Yeah,
but I mean,
buying things at a shop, though,
I feel
that's
like
different.
Shop should be more intuitive, I guess, because it's just, it's like a, it's peripheral to the main game experience. You know what I mean?
I hear you. I'm not remembering like the weird thing about the shops.
When I played PSO2, I didn't have too much of a problem with shops. I did think like the UI was terrible. And it took too long to get around to do things just because it's a very sprawled.
That was a PS Universe problem.
I agree
actually.
With that. I wouldn't challenge that opinion.
That was a problem in Fantasy Star Universe that I remember. I was like, I gotta fucking.
I'm really curious if they're making money, like, you know, because obviously
they're
it's
making.
Free.
I think they are.
Buku bucks
on what? On hats and shit, like
probably, yeah. Well, guns and stuff. Like JJ, you were saying that it seemed like the weaponry was limited. I'm guessing this is total guess, not informed at all. But I'm guessing it's because you were not paying any money.
No. The guns and stuff are the free to play aspect of this game is all like it's like Dota. It's all appearance wise. So you start out looking like the ridiculous future cowboy with just the awful.
The costumes in this game are future Iga. Terrible.
Yeah, you know,
like, they
look like
awful.
A total imbecile.
PSO had such really, really, really awesome art direction, and like the vestiges of it are left in what's there now.
Well, you have to pay for that. I think that's probably what
you get it.
And
like,
the CG movie in the beginning is freaking awesome. It looks great. The art direction is very PSO, but it's probably like he said, you have to pay money to actually get to that part.
The other thing you can pay for is to get your own house in the game, and which also can serve as like the base for your team.
What kind of ridiculous fool would pay?
In the beta, they gave it to you for free.
PSO2 cribs, man.
The beta, they gave it to us for free. So I was able to see it.
Yeah.
And it looked pretty much like the PlayStation Home house.
I was going to say, it sounds like PlayStation
Home. It was really bad. I was like, I don't care about this.
Were there people dancing?
I was going to say, I want to see Shane in my house, like dancing in a t-shirt.
It was bad. I was not interested.
So overall, so JJ, we've got, I think, your take on it. But Brendan, is this like something where it's like, cool, yeah, I'm going to keep playing this?
I'm going to keep playing it, and I think...
You made friends in the game? Or
yeah, a lot. Okay. A lot of my friends were already playing it, so...
But that, I feel like, is, of course, but like a huge part of the key.
I just wish that they had voice chat in the game. You have to type on the stupid Vita.
How is the interface otherwise? Because when we tried it at TGS, I liked all of the shortcuts that were possible, but like anything touching on the screen seemed like the things were too small to.
Now that I actually play as a mage, so I spend it. What is it called?
I think a force.
Force is the term. Yes, but for those
are
of you
Newman force,
I'm a Newman force. All right, I went the orthodox.
Nice, yeah.
But now that I have to press the screen all the time because all of my shortcuts for magic are there, I do notice that I press the wrong one if I don't actually look down and be like press.
Is that not optional? You do all that stuff with the like the D-pad and the buttons and shoulder buttons.
I think you can do some, but if you want to have like all of your spells registered,
you can only queue up two. I think
it's two. Yeah,
that's kind of a bummer. Because so, I had a big problem with that.
As a mage, I really want all of my spells available at all times.
Sure.
So in that sense, I agree with you. Though, aside from the small icons, I found the controls on the Vita to be very smooth and. If you're not a mage, I bet you wouldn't even notice the problem.
Gotcha.
Well, I'm going to play it, and I'm curious to see if it ever gets to a point where I feel like I want to pay for something, or if that's just the part where I give up playing.
But that's the thing. You don't need to, like, that's the thing. You pay for something or not, you're still going to have a lot of fun.
Yeah, but
that's
still the main thing I'm concerned about or curious about, rather, is if they are making money and how. And so like,
the business model size.
I should want to pay money. If that's the case,
let's see.
Sega say it, they're making this is like the big success story of the last couple of years.
There are plenty of people out there who just spend money on that shit because they, you know, whatever.
It's funny too, because they could have made this game like 12 years ago if they had a clue instead of that crap they put out. But
right, yeah, exactly.
That's true.
So, speaking of not crap necessarily, but MMOs, Dragon Quest X.
Yeah.
Yes. So, what's up?
The beta started.
You were talking about
this
it recently.
Week.
It's started this week.
Yeah.
Are you doing that?
No, because you can't use your
this is
character.
The Wii U beta we're talking
yeah,
about.
Like I could start a new character, but I don't want to. My character is like 180 hours or something like that.
And you haven't played it, but you still have the. Are you still paying for the Hunter's license or whatever it's called?
I'm not even sure if I'm paying or not, but basically I will be paying again when the Wii U version comes out. I stopped playing like literally the day the Wii U came out because like you can't. It's just hard to look at the Wii anymore after that, man.
right.
So, yeah, I was waiting.
Beta's going on now, but you can't use your real character. Although, if you are creating a new character on the Wii U version...
It will carry over.
It will carry over.
Yeah.
So when does the retail?
I think March 30th.
It's the end of the month, basically. Yeah.
Mm. Kind of weird that there's not been, and not really a good sign for Wii U stuff in general. This game has not been announced for the West. Like, it's time is passing.
The amount of money it would cost to localize this game, I think, would make it, it's not even a gamble worth taking until the Wii U install base grows a little bit. Yeah. I mean, I could see it happening maybe a year or two from now, especially, if the Wii U install base grows. But like right now,
you could still sell it on Wii, right? You could still sell it on Wii and Wii U if you localize
it. How many Wii owners are going to pay for an MMO?
If you look at all the MMOs that have come out in the last few years, and how many of them like came out and people like, oh, this is a big next thing, and then they end up being like free to play and then close pretty quickly. Like, I think not releasing Dragon Quest X in America is probably a good idea.
Like, but then this has to be a monumental fuck up, right, on Japan's part, because like, spending the amount of time and effort that you are going to develop a game that's only going to be... I mean, the Japanese market is such a small part of
it. But it will be profitable. I forget exactly when, but they already announced when they're going to start being profitable on this game. And it's pretty soon. Yeah. This game will make money for them pretty quickly.
And so I wonder,
survive on Japan alone.
How much of that they're attributing to... I mean, you know, oh... You know, this is the development cost. We're not counting like server cost and stuff. I mean, there's a million different ways to spin the numbers and whatever, but like those things are super ridiculously expensive,
right,
to make your money back on. Only selling it in Japan, and it didn't, like, it sold respectably, especially for a Wii, you know, big asterisk Wii as a Wii RPG, but like that shit did not light the sales world on fire, and especially as a Dragon Quest game, was like a dud, was like a failure.
You don't, I mean, it's going to be even worse at America,
right?
Then you have to add in all the localization.
But what I'm talking about is not, okay, here's the situation they're in now, where do they go? I'm talking about, let's back up. What do we start with? Okay, we're going to make this game that's only going to sell in Japan ever.
Well, I mean, in the
end credits, there is localization staff. So, like, they did build the game to be localized, I'm assuming, but I just don't know if it's happening. I kind of understand. I would want to see it come out, but I think Wii U has to kind of prove itself first in the West, and it totally hasn't yet.
By the time it comes out, I mean, maybe it doesn't matter.
Well, this game has like a 10-year lifespan, according to them, so like it could come out 2 years from now and still Final Fantasy XI, man.
This game is
like,
going to look like fucking Burning Rangers in like 5 years. It already looks pretty...
Dude, Burning Rangers, like polygons are having trouble staying together.
That's like half
decomposing
the
in front of your eyes.
God bless it. God bless it. But like, this game already is no fucking like bell of the ball.
Yeah, but you know,
10 years from now, can you fucking imagine? It's gonna be a retro game.
Final Fantasy XI got a total graphics overhaul like 4 or 5 years in. I mean, they can do stuff like that. You know,
but the problem is the Wii U is already doing its graphics overhaul, and maybe a little too soon, because that means they're not going to be able to do it again.
You know, maybe in 5 years it'll come out on PC, or you know, there are options for them. They absolutely are not limited to like the state they're in now.
This game will come out on PC at one point.
Yeah, I don't know. The cost of putting it in English, maybe the promotion, I don't know. But putting it out on PC, like worldwide, and the audience would seem to me like the audience is 100 times literally bigger than the Wii RPG audiences.
But then I'm sure we also never see the like money hat or whatever that's going on where Nintendo's giving them something.
I don't know.
Monster Hunter, dude. There's no way Monster Hunter just happened because they felt like switching to Nintendo. Like, there is money changing hands there.
Everybody assumed that Resident Evil was that way when Resident Evil switched
over. But that was different though. This is like the two pillars of Japanese games.
It was like that they said, we're going to give you like memory cards at cost so you can pack it in or whatever. Right. It's just like a big FU to Sony. So like, who knows, man? I would not.
Newsflash, according to Square Enix chief Yoichi Wada, Dragon Quest X is already profitable.
Lies.
They reached 400,000 subscribers and has already covered its development costs.
That's a lot of subscribers.
Yeah.
And how much does it cost per month again?
$10, roughly. I mean, $10-$12, whatever, depending on the exchange rate.
400K. Okay. So, yeah, they're pulling in like, you know, $4 million, I guess, a month.
So there you go.
It definitely has enthusiastic fan base.
I see the financials.
Every time I log in, there
it's like Square
Enix's all over the
Gears
place.
Of War costs are not going up.
Gears of War only costs $12 million to make. Oh,
really?
By the way, we're not going to take any of developing fucking the entire Unreal Engine and all of the assets into account when we come up with that figure. Blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Anyway, who knows? who cares, more importantly, because what I care about is what JJ has been playing.
I've been playing games.
In his free time.
Video games.
So, you know, like, recently I bought back Dark Souls.
You returned.
Yes. And, like, it, like not, like, 3 minutes after I bought it back, I got this incredibly bad paper cut on my finger.
Oh.
As if Dark Souls was saying, like, that you don't ever fucking sell me again.
Oh, nice.
You will keep me.
The One Ring, like, right. Somehow it finds its way back and it, like, tears it at your soul.
Exactly.
So, should I be taking credit for the fact that, you're rekindled?
Kind of, yeah.
Passion?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, yeah. I just, you know... well, it's partially because of you and partially because I finished Demon's Souls.
Right.
And I, you
first
know.
First on the podcast.
Right. Yes. And so, like, I've come back to Dark Souls and I'm just, like, totally in love with it all over again. I started a character and I got to an Orlando. Yeah. And then I stopped that character because I didn't know what I was doing.
You were spreading it out.
Right. I did, like.
Attributes.
It's funny because my first playthrough, it took me about 40 hours to get to Anne Orlando.
Yeah.
And now the second time, it took me 14 hours.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And then this.
How much changes.
This current time, it took me 5 hours.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Because, you know, I've been watching speedrun videos and reading and stuff. And, like, you know, like in the first 10 minutes, I got this Dark Knight Halberd. Is that how you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Which does incredible damage.
Swinging it, though.
I went up and beat the gargoyles. I used the electronic salve or whatever it is.
Oh yeah, I know.
And then it just fucking tore through those guys. And then if you get up your strength to 21, yeah, I got his tail.
Yeah.
If you get your strength up to like 21 or 22, you can dual hand it. And
so you were swinging this thing without a penalty, without like your character flying all over the place.
Right.
Oh wow. Okay. So it only requires like a 22 strength.
Yeah. Well, for dual handing, one handed, it's 32. But I was doing like 300 to 500 damage.
So you're sacrificing a shield. So
yeah.
You can...
I see.
And I was doing like.
I didn't realize that dual handing took a less like the less than the strength.
I think
that makes a lot of sense.
I think in some cases, but yeah, I was doing so much fucking damage, just tearing through everything, and I'm just fucking a beast.
So you're like
now.
A strength build.
Yeah, I'm a strength build right now.
Interesting.
And
what was your starting class?
A hunter.
Hunter.
Yes.
Did you use the key? Did you pick the key? I guess.
Yeah, I got the
key. You kind of need to, right? To do some of the stuff.
Yeah, and to kill that Black Knight, you pretty much have to like stand under him and have him fall off the cliff so you can get it. And that it's apparently a pretty rare item. I was really lucky to get it the first time I went through.
Oh, you get okay. Yeah. Well, that explains.
And I'm loving it. That is one game that I can just start over from the beginning and not give a shit.
I get to do it again.
Yeah, cool. Exactly. Yeah. I'm loving it. In fact,
it is like a thing of beauty and a testament to that game. We're getting into like our special Dark Souls special podcast coming to summer territory. But
before that, actually, if I want to do a little plug, this Sunday around 6-7 Japan time, me and some
which is what time? Give us some.
Oh my god, I don't know what was that. What is that?
6-7 p.m.
Yeah,
dude, you're choosing like the absolute worst time possible. To be streaming
other people that are going to be there, like Johnny the Future and Tony, are going to be coming from work and stuff like that. So it's a late night thing.
What are you doing?
You realize what time that is? Yeah, tell people what you're doing.
It's like 4 a.m.
So we're going to do a naked run through Dark Souls. We're going to start a naked character, and we're going to try not to wear any armor. And we're going to be passing it from person to person. We're going to set up a few rules and...
think of it like a drinking game without drinking.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We're going to stream it.
Everybody...
You guys need to be naked too. You know that, right?
No.
Of course
no.
You will be, right? You're going to have a webcam on yourselves. Right?
Yeah, probably. Okay.
So everybody set your alarm clocks because this will be local time in San Francisco. This is your ideal time zone is the West Coast. 2 a.m. Yes.
People will be awake at 2 a.m.
People in Chicago.
On a Saturday night?
Yeah, man. Saturday night.
Not to watch your stream.
At 2 a.m.
Maybe not.
Exactly when I want to start watching somebody play.
You guys are getting upset, but the
wait a second.
I'm
not
tied.
Done.
The strings are tied.
Chicago, all you Midwesterners can tune in at
4
a.m. Which is, I think, pretty much probably the, even maybe arguably better. And then, of course, the 5 a.m. for our friends.
On the East Coast.
On the Sunday morning.
So before they, you know,
before they get up and go to
prepare
church.
Their morning coffee.
Before church, you know, like, why not?
No, but see, like,
we were going to do this anyways. We just thought about streaming it afterwards, and we're just going to stream it. If nobody watches, that's fine. If some people watch,
can they watch it after the fact at least?
I hope so. I don't know. I haven't really looked too much into
it. So where? How can they find the stream?
We're going to be on Twitch. I'm going to make a Sporsk username. And
just say you'll tweet
the I'll tweet it, yeah.
URL. And your Twitter account is?
Is SPRSK.
Yeah, so... you should really figure out a way to archive that somehow.
Yeah, I want to. I could just record it myself. I don't know.
But you guys are going to be mic'd in like the whole business?
I hope so.
And it's going to be you, friend of the show, Johnny Intern.
Yeah, Tony and who else is going to be there?
Friend of the show.
Oh, Brendan, of course.
I'll be there. Brendan will be there.
What was that? How soon we forget? He's not gone yet, man.
And my wife will be there and Haruki will be there.
So real quick, just to, we should get off Dark Souls, but I played it again, beat the Four Kings.
Nice.
Actually, Johnny helped me do it.
Oh, cool.
Him and
Four
another
Kings
guy.
Are fucking awesome.
I didn't even know you could have more than one person helping you.
Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
You could have lots of people.
Dude, it's ridiculous when you have... I mean, we have one person. It's like, okay, we're just going to kick the shit out of stuff now. But like with two people, it's like almost embarrassing. Like I felt bad for the fucking Four Kings. As much as they killed me, I mean, it was just a joke.
But see, when I fought the Four Kings, I had two people with me, and both of them died. And then I barely survived to kill
them. Yeah, no, these guys knew what the fuck they were doing.
Recently, like, I'm so strong that I sometimes summon people so they could be a meat shield for me.
Nice.
You're just a terrible person.
Yeah.
Well, that's a perfectly legit.
Yeah, totally.
Not? I mean, they're running into it, right?
Yeah.
And I killed my first person, my first other PvP.
Congratulations.
I got invaded and fucking invaded that shit back. I'll save that story for the special. Right. But anyway, JJ, have you been playing anything else?
I've been playing Revengeance.
Oh, shit.
Revengeance.
Ching. Expertly localized by... some expert localizers.
Yes. But I'm playing it in Japanese, so I don't get to hear all the beautiful
traitor
English.
Christ. What is wrong with you?
Because I wanted to play it and I don't have access to it.
I hope at some point somebody out there does do like a really in-depth comparison of the Japanese and English. And I'll just like leave it at that.
Yeah.
But how are you finding it? Are you jizzing like everyone on the internet is? Really?
Yeah.
All right. Then we'll move on. So, John, you have been playing Castlevania.
Wait, I played a little bit of Rising.
Lords of Shadow.
I played one level of Rising.
John, you've been playing Rising. What's your take
it's
on?
It's awesome.
Yeah, that's what I heard.
It is super awesome, but I only played one level, and I have complaints, but they're not like big complaints. They're like the controls are like super uber complicated at first and not explained well.
So that's a recurring theme, is that controls are fully not explained.
And Raiden sounds like they, like, I don't know, like they took like a crowbar and like heated up and stuck it up his ass. That's what he sounds like when he's talking. He sounds like so bizarre and like the dude on the Batman
no
dude.
No comment.
He's not bad in Japanese.
That's not our fault. I mean, you know. We didn't
but yeah.
The
so
controls,
John.
This is the shit on JJ podcast.
Castlevania, Lords of Shadow, Circle of Fate, the longest
mirror
title
of fate
in the history of video
games.
Yeah,
well, no, I played the demo, which, you know. People have probably all
speaking of
played.
Shitting on things.
Yeah.
Castlevania, Lords of Shadow,
but
Circle
you know what?
Of
it's
Fate,
not a surprise
Mirror
either.
Fate,
we said this when we played it at E3 last year, and it really hasn't changed that much. It still has it's completely uninspired. The demo, to be fair.
Right.
Just the demo. But I'm not buying the main game, so all I can talk about is the demo. But
you've decided for
totally,
sure you're not buying the main game.
No, I'm not giving money to support something like that. How could they take they make these awesome games every like 3 years with EGA, and then they take that away and they put out this generic shit.
Wait,
and
so
like,
tell me what's wrong with it, because I've been kind of on the edge of hearing the buzz of like this is dog shit and people making fun of it. It's so
it's
bad
a, like,
and whatever.
Pretty-ish
but
looking like, you know, looks like someone like threw it in Unreal Engine or whatever and like, you know, made a Castlevania. It's a side-scrolling 2D sides, 2D in the sense that it's 2.5D. They're 3D models, but it's 2D. Yeah. Side-scrolling Castlevania game in the vein of the older ones. But it feels a lot like the combat feels a lot like the Lords of Shadow, the 3D one.
Right.
Which
you liked.
In Lords of Shadow, where I can run around the world in 3D and do all this cool shit. But when you're running up to like a skeleton and you have to whip him like 70 times to kill him, it's like, what were you thinking?
Okay,
like,
I did hear about that.
Stupid. Like, it's just horrible design. And the map design
yes.
is uninspired and
so that's something that
boring.
JJ passed around this a picture that's going around.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it was like of a map of an area, and there's like this red dot on the right side of the screen, and the map itself is just like a straight line that goes up and then down and then straight again.
Final Fantasy 13 dungeon, basically.
It really reeks of, and I don't mind saying this, even though I'm not a game designer myself, but it reeks of like super amateur game design. Like the level in the demo, like there's this part where you get to this gated door that you can't go through, right? And you're like, you figure, okay, I got to figure out something. The way to get through that door is to like break through the ground somehow. I think you drop a chandelier or something. Go underground. You travel like a mile away from the door and then like flick a switch. Like what castle anywhere in the world is going to stick a switch for the door?
Well, let's not get into the logic of Castlevania dungeon design.
But it's even...
Because it's like Dracula goes to the bathroom and then he comes back and jumps on these like platforms.
Right,
like,
right. You know, but it's less about the castle design.
He's
got to
go up
all
those gears.
Right, it's like, fuck, man, I really like those moving,
just
gotta
hold it,
those
man.
Pendulums swinging. I really like that was a cool idea when I don't. It's not 2 o'clock in the morning. Right. And I just have to go to the bathroom.
Dracula goes downstairs in the middle of the night to watch some TV, and he's like, "Fuck, I gotta climb up
the
all those
heads.
Platforms."
I'm just gonna sleep on the couch. I'm just sleeping here.
Less about the castle design, though. It's not about architecture. It's about the level
Dracula
design.
Or Dracula is doing microwave
Enough.
Popcorn.
It doesn't make sense. In Symphony of the Night, one of the best things about it, but the best thing about a good Metroidvania game is that it makes sense. Like the way the levels are design, like you instinctively go back to places and like you're like, wow, that was clever how they did that.
Right.
This feels like nobody thought about anything, and it was like, you know, game construction kit.
Okay.
Blah blah blah.
I hear you.
Bad music. They are still
Really?
Yeah. They still think. Well, it's just I don't know. They still think that people give a shit about their narrative. So like, there are dead people on the floor all over the place, and you walk up to them, and he opens a scroll and reads the guy's story about what took place, you know, 5 minutes before he apparently got killed, which is retarded in of itself. Like when you die, I don't think you're gonna write a scroll. But they're all over the game, and they're dumb and they're poorly written. And it's just like,
how I die.
Again, though,
I'm upset that basically they took something good away and put it in the hands of amateurs just because they thought it looked good. And hopefully, you know, meanwhile, Iga's like off making social games right now, which is like just a crime against humanity.
Right.
So
someone needs to free Iga.
Someone needs
seriously free Iga. Somebody make the poster, please.
We need a
Iga.
T-shirt.
Someone
that says free Iga.
That would be upcoming.
I would
probably
totally wear
Meepun
a free
created
Iga.
A4 line. Free Iga.
That is great.
Definitely going to be.
Please
one
send
of
your
them.
Designs in for that T-shirt.
Yes.
That could be the title of this podcast. Actually,
we will not own the rights to them. We will get the profits. Let's just make that clear. Free Iga is wholly owned and operated by 8-4 Limited, but it might help us get our Iga Kickstarter.
Right.
We need a Kickstarter for this Kickstarter.
Anyway, yeah, I'm disappointed.
Yes. So,
and but more disappointed because I saw it coming like a year ago, and but the development team didn't, I guess. So I don't know.
Bummer. Well, why don't we take a break and come back and do some news?
News.
Cool.
Turbo Express news. So stick around. We'll be back. All right, we are back, and JJ neglected to mention the main audience for his podcast, or for his Ustream, and the reason that he's doing it is as an apology for all the horrible things that John says about our friend.
In Europe. Yes. In Europe, it's a perfectly good time
it's
on your Sunday morning.
It's
going
to be 10 a.m. in London, right, Tom?
Yes.
And you know, France and
Germany,
all those places.
Those places are going to be
underpants.
Yeah. Spain, your Spains,
you can
your
eat
Greeces
lunch
and whatnots.
Yeah,
over there,
we're a worldwide podcast mark.
Netherlands,
Nether regions. that is not a country name.
Your Helsinki's and
Nether regions,
Glasnost's and things over there. So yes, gracias.
People in like Singapore can watch it.
Singapore is like right here.
Yeah, exactly.
And our Asian friend.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
AJ.
Yeah. Isn't Duck Roll?
Give a pitch for your Ustream in Chinese. For Chinese.
Washer Kung Fu Shao Fu. Kung Fu Shao.
You're so racist and terrible. Going to hell.
Yeah.
Our, like, two Chinese listeners are
afraid. No, they're going to be like, hey, that sounded pretty authentic.
Let us know if that meant anything.
So, what did mean something? What a segue was Sony's PlayStation 4 conference.
Hey, we talked about that already.
Yeah,
I know. But we talked about some things and didn't talk about others. And there's some weird things and what it's not. So, first of all,
we had a lot of listeners last week. We always have tons of listeners when we talk about PlayStation, new PlayStation stuff.
What could it be? What is it?
We should become the official PlayStation podcast.
There you go.
So, a couple things. One, everybody, including us, just kind of was like, oh, yeah, the controller's got a Move controller, like, built into it now.
Yeah.
Kind of not really. Yeah. So it, like...
What?
The headline was, like, the new PS4 controller is not a Move controller. And the language isn't entirely clear, to be honest, still. It has, like, the light on it that's used as sensing reasons. But I don't know. My take on it is sounding something kind of like between a six-axis and
I thought they
Move
said you're
going
to use to log in or something.
Use what now?
Use the lights to like log in or something like
that. They indicate
different players can you have different colors like a Move controller does for that. But like, so it's you know, motion sensitive, but not necessarily that sensitive.
You know, and it is kind of odd because the demo that what are they called? The guys that made the
Media Molecule
platformer. Yeah, Media Molecule guys. They were using Move controllers and not the dual foreshock
and
or
Move
whatever.
Controllers are going to work with the PlayStation Eye thing, which is also not confirmed, although it was assumed by most people, including us, I think, that was just coming with the system.
Right.
That was packed in.
The language.
I feel like there were articles that said that.
There were.
Okay.
But there are other ones that are like, actually, it's not clear.
Oh, I see.
Sony never says anything about that.
I thought that was necessary for the controller the same way that it was for Wii.
Right. And it's actually kind of funny. The first PR statement that they released on the PlayStation blog mostly talks about how that light is going to be used for, like, you know, showing your life bar, showing who's player one and stuff. They don't really mention much about, like, motion gaming and with that in mind.
Well, it's kind of a weird time to be big on motion gaming, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's like, I mean, there's kind of almost a negative.
Right. Do you get the feeling?
Kinect, like, is like something I've noticed recently. Mm. Kinect is the biggest fucking joke.
You noticed that recently?
Period.
Yeah. It was always a joke.
But like it was a joke from the start, but it was like but it's selling and my grandma's playing it or whatever.
Right.
Now it's just like, Kinect, that never worked. It's almost just like everybody's finally acknowledging, like even people who were like at the time, like, this is cool, this has got great. It's like it was like snake oil. It's just like, this is a bunch of bullshit. Actually, you know what? We got fucking fooled. We got fucked. It's not like Nintendo with
we
the
meaning
Wii.
They, not us. Because
I was taking artistic Kinect license there to talk as people who actually wrote about Kinect. God bless their poor master souls. but. Yeah, like people were like, okay, that was cool for a time, and then the kind of bloom wore off, and ultimately there wasn't like a second, you know, third round to sustain it. But like,
there were
Kinect,
simple
it was
functions
like,
that it
yeah,
would
you
work
know
with.
What? It was fucked from the start. It never really worked. We got sold a line of goods that was kind of bullshit.
And they, you know, that Kinect, I've said this before, but Kinect is kind of what turned me off to like Xbox for a while. Like, I was so huge on the 360, and then they just basically took Kinect and tried to like shove it down our throats and like insist that it was the next big thing, and that just really
don't you find it interesting now having said that, that like all the rumors and stuff we're hearing about the next Xbox are like very Kinect heavy. Like,
well,
this is going to be the
build
next
into TVs. They're like doubling down on it, and it's gonna be more. I mean, I think the weird thing
I
is,
don't doubt it's gonna get better.
Do you think that like when Microsoft shows off the next Xbox, everybody's gonna be looking at them like, what the fuck are you doing? What is this?
You know, that's the weird thing.
I don't know.
It's gonna come out and it's gonna detect your neck and fingers, and people are gonna be like, okay, now it's fucking Minority Report. When I said it was Minority Report, okay, I was wrong.
Yeah.
My bad. Well, but now it really is Minority Report.
There were people who modified their Kinect so that they could use their computers like Minority Report.
Right. And honestly, the only cool stuff that I've seen, really cool stuff, maybe I'm forgetting a thing or two, but the really cool stuff that I've seen has been
in the hacker community.
The hacker stuff.
This is true. This
Speaking
is very, very
of cool
true.
Stuff
novelty
Kinect,
crap.
What the fuck happened with Crimson Dragon ever? What's going on there?
It still hasn't come out, huh?
That demo came out for a day.
What's going on there? Is that getting Last Guardian in the next in the future?
I don't think it's going to be 720s. That good, so I don't know. I don't think it's like a system seller.
Grumble, grumble.
But yeah, I mean, I think when they announce whatever is next for Xbox, you know, in April or whenever that's going to happen, like they really, I hope that it's not going to be a half hour of yapping about Kinect.
Dude,
I want to hear stuff like we heard.
It's gonna be
a
half hour of Sway talking about
social capabilities.
Every dreadlock is detected by the new.
He has beautiful dreadlocks.
I won't even buy it if that's what they do. Like, I don't know. Just don't.
So, I mean, I think that's going to happen though, dude. It's going to be Nike Fuel Band. It's going to be Halo 5.
It's going to be a bunch of like 6 year old girls dancing on.
There will be people in, like, you know, like colored t-shirts going around their daily life using the Kinect, and everybody's
not vision.
Keep going. Keep
so
going,
a girl's gonna walk in after her exercise session and go,
yes.
Xbox, turn on. Show me my latest Breaking Bad episode, and then it's gonna come on. And it's gonna your life with the Xbox.
I would have said Game of Thrones, but I would
maybe
have said
yeah.
Breaking Bad. Yeah, it'll be that.
That would be a little too nerdy for the Xbox crowd. I don't know.
Right.
What's the music that will be going on in the background? I'm not unfortunately in America anymore, so I can't say like it's gonna be Fallout Boy.
It's not gonna be Fallout Boy.
Right. That's very much like
it'll be some sort of like, you know, British rock band of some sort.
One of those.
Yeah.
One of those.
I saw Tom perk his ears up at the word British.
It'll be something, and then like, and then later on they'll show the car trailers with the dubstep.
Well, so
the kids like.
One of the funny thing is, and one of the things that will definitely
such high hopes we have for this conference
is there will be like the mini EA press conference in the middle of the fucking Microsoft press conference,
where some
which
dude
the
with like a
mercifully
perfect
was
out.
Not somehow in the Sony conference.
Peter Moore is going to come out with a new tattoo.
And we have a thing about that, actually, a news item about that before we get into the other stuff, where EA Chief Financial Officer, that's often referred to as CFO, Blake Jorgensen, JJ, Jorgensen.
Jorgensen? Sorry.
I feel bad now because of something people say to have you read this in the accent. Otherwise, yeah. I would have you read this in the
accent. But he's like American, so it would just be like
right.
American.
So he would be like, I think that's they were asking him, like, is this indicative of like your standing, your support for console gaming in 2014 or PlayStation 4? And he said, no, it's not indicative at all. I think that's more about timing of our own slate as well. And this is that was the bullshit part. Here's the real part. As well as trying to maintain a good balance of power with all of the parties out there and choosing when to unveil certain pieces of software. Mm-hmm. AKA, we've got a thing
we're
at the
Microsoft
thing
right.
And have for the past however many fucking years.
Yeah.
And everybody's going to be bored while we show the next Madden. Although
Need for Speed.
The only
which
time
you probably
people
won't
are
be
not
able to
bored
play.
When you show the next Madden and stuff is when you're showing the next generation stuff. So hopefully it's impressive enough to actually... you know what they'll probably do is show another fucking boxing game. They only care about the boxing games when fucking
Kinect
next gens
man.
Happen, right? There, right? There you go.
Is exactly what's going to
Kinect
happen.
Kinect 2, T-O-O, Kinect 2.
You'll be able to catch a ball in your living room and pass it to your friend over in
EA
Wisconsin.
Boxing. That's right. And with Nike Fuel Band support,
the sad thing is I can totally see that.
It's never been easier
to
play football with your friend. Anyway.
Strap your iPad to your shoulder.
I was actually really happy and only realized it after the Sony press conference that there was no really boring sports section, but at the same
that's
time,
true
it was
there wasn't
weird.
Well, there was the driving
racing.
Game, right?
It was the
that
driving
was
game,
there.
But that wasn't
come
boring.
On.
It was
real,
actually kind of interesting.
Reels,
that's
we know
like borderline
know,
sports.
Yeah, yeah. That's not a sport. Come on, for reals.
It's that audience.
That's
though.
Like a bowling sport. That's
it's
like a that's like a
it's a niche audience.
Dude,
well,
you're
niche, like
a no, I'm not saying it's not a huge audience.
Treading on thin ice here.
Popularity. I'm just saying when I use the term sport in terms of gaming, right? I refer to a genre that is to me does not include racing. Racing is its own.
It is that is true.
Okay.
Genre.
Racing is its own genre,
but it's like sports' cousin.
Yeah, that's
like
true.
If you're on watching a TV channel, it's a sport TV channel, and they have racing coverage, then yes, it makes sense. If it's a when I say sports with video games,
right? I'm sure some people think NASCAR's a sport, right?
Like they didn't show soccer or football. Basically, let's just put it that way. Okay,
right,
they didn't
right.
show fucking soccer
true.
Or American football for our European friends. Mm. And so those are the two things that are shown every single fucking time. Anyway, they weren't
yes.
shown. What they did show is that they don't have fucking backwards compatibility. I feel like we didn't talk or bitch about this enough last
yeah.
time. So
yeah, we talked about it.
Well, we talked about it, but more stuff kind of came out. It's like they're kind of playing this weird song and dance number where it's like, you know, it could come out later in emulation or Gaikai, maybe, sort of. But, you know, to his credit, Shuhei Yoshida, the president of Sony Worldwide Studios, did say, like, no backwards compatibility. You can quote me on that. Now,
we should really get him on the show.
Asked to follow up, he's like, people are like, okay, so what does that mean for your PSN library? And yeah. Here's the weird thing. Listening to other podcasts and pundits and people talking, people seem to not have a problem with the fact that it's not backwards compatible with the disk software. But somehow, when it's the PSN stuff, then that's when they're like, this is bullshit.
Well, because I think it's because a lot of that stuff isn't like the super AAA stuff.
I don't think that's really the reason why. I think there's a different
mentality.
I think there's a whole different way of thinking, which is like when you download something, you think it's going to last.
Right.
Especially because people are used to like the Steam and iTunes.
Well, you know, the one thing about downloading is you don't have the option of reselling it, whereas with your physical media, you do. So right. I think that's where the difference in mindset comes from.
And there was a limited level of backwards compatibility with the Vita and the PSP, where Vita can play PSP games.
In a Japan.
Right.
Right.
But Sony has, there is a precedent of having at least a form of backwards compatibility.
It's just and it's funny because if you go back, I think Sony took a shot at Microsoft about their backwards compatibility thing when they announced the PS3, and you know, they were touting it as important with the PS2 or whatever. But you know, a couple thoughts on this. One, I do understand the difference in the mentality, but I think when you think about it for 1 second, it's like it's using the same piece of hardware that a disk is. So why? I mean, you even installing things on the hardware. Why would there be this disconnect? To me, I think it's all kind of messed up. And I'm
not sure who are you complaining about. The people who are upset.
Yes. I'm complaining about people who are like, oh man, well, it's fine that it doesn't not work for disk system, but for my download stuff, like what the F, man? And it's like, well, what's the difference? It's not, you know, I understand why you're thinking that, but let's take 10 seconds and think. It's using the same hardware, so why would it be different for one and for the other? My other thing is, like, people are like, oh, it's a different architecture. What do you expect them to do, a cell price? It's like, I'm not fucking Ken Kutaragi. Like, don't bother me with fucking technical shit. Just make the shit work. Like, just make the shit work. I just have the expectations. I don't want to have a fucking PS3 under my TV for another year. For I don't want to have to buy another PS3 should my shit break, just to play the games that I want to play for the first 6 months or a year on the PS4 while the titles are coming out for that.
True. Yeah. To play devil's advocate a little bit, though, like, I understand the fact that, you know, the hardware is different enough that, you know, it's not really feasible. But
I do too. Them saying PS3
normally
was a
normally I might be against that, right? But PS3 was a train wreck. So like the fact that they're at least fixing it now should pave the way for example, PS5 to be backwards compatible PS4, so on and so forth. They have to like break the chain of like god awful hardware decisions somewhere.
The shitty thing,
it is going to play PS1 and PS2 games. I'm sure they'll have some way to get your PSN stuff over sooner or later. You'll get PS3 stuff in some form.
But here's the weird thing: if they were going to do that, if they were confident in doing that, I mean, maybe they don't want to overpromise and underdeliver. But it's weird.
Sure, that's part of it.
It's weird that the message now is when people are asking them, like, couldn't you use the cloud services to make, you know, the PSN stuff work? It's like
they might not know yet.
The response is, we could do so if we choose to. We know who purchased what as a record, but we are working on service plans and we haven't decided.
So be nice to us, or maybe we'll give it to you.
To me, it's like, decide that fucking shit before you announce your system,
man.
It's
not.
This is the one note here where Sony, I think, has been a big misstep in terms of maybe just their messaging.
It's the messaging, because I think they should just not talk about it yet and say that information is coming at E3 or whatever. I don't think it's necessary that they announce it right now. It's still 8 months away or whatever it is.
We could do so if we choose to. Like,
right. That is not something they should say.
That's smacks of the, like, you know, let them eat cake, get two jobs.
I agree. Yeah. I think it's especially bad for Sony now that we live in a world where, like, backwards compatibility is common. Nobody buys an iOS or an Android device and says, like, well, all my old software work on it. They just know it does.
From now on, it needs to. And hopefully that's going to happen with the way they redesign.
So a lot of people are going to be like, well, my iPhone plays Infinity Blade.
Yeah, I like that voice.
In that voice, of course.
It's weird to me, especially when I think back to, like, 5 years ago, thinking, okay, who in the next gen is going to make you rebuy stuff and not going to be backwards compatibility. I would have thought Nintendo would not have a way to bring your Wii stuff over to the Wii U. It's weird to me that
Hardware is so underpowered that it's like it's not hard to emulate or bring.
That's, you're thinking from like a logic, like you're thinking from a logical standpoint.
God forbid.
Be thinking from like like a shoot from the cuff.
Well, it's just they made their architecture similar enough that it can play, and that's the smart thing to do. The fact is, the matter is that Kutaragi fucked them.
We're still paying for PS3 mistakes. I know.
Yeah. I'm like, Kutaragi fucked them over 7 years ago.
Still angry at all the bullshit for the PS3, but anyway.
Still stupid excited about PS4.
The 4K, the like super 4x1080p TVs that are coming out that people are like, man, PS4 can play on it and stuff like that. It can do movies. It can do potentially, you know, photos and stuff like that. Personal media output, I guess, but not games.
Ars Technica had a big thing about that. Yeah, it sounded like it wasn't going to be a big thing with games in the next gen.
The funny thing is, thanks to Siliconera and Polygon for most of our news, Polygon.com. As a side comment in this, this is Yoshida again saying like, oh, there's a demo of a game, you know, playing in 4K, and it's like, of course. Polyphony Digital's Kazunori Yamauchi loves those things. He's been using multiple PS3s to create big screen Gran Turismo experience for 3 monitors. Well, great to hear what he's been up to.
Yeah.
More ridiculous bullshit that no one is ever going to use or play or whatever.
It's amazing the leash that guy gets,
Christ,
man.
Speaking of which, Jonathan Blow explains why The Witness is coming to PS4. This actually bodes well for Sony and bad for Microsoft. This bodes well. This bodes badly. I don't even know if you can say that, but anyway, this makes it seem like Microsoft has kind of like the hubris that Sony had, that Nintendo had, that everybody has before they take a bath on the next console generation. He's saying, you know, he hasn't even been briefed on the next gen Xbox hardware, and he has like a PS4 dev kit. Now, maybe that's personality things, maybe that's just weird, an anomaly or whatever, but Braid was, whatever you think of him or his game product, Braid was a huge, huge, like, platform-defining hit.
Yes.
It was the breakout hit for Xbox Live Arcade.
And so, like, that guy, you don't want to go out without a fight. And whereas before, it was Minecraft, like, Microsoft outmaneuvering Sony for Minecraft. Now, this is, like, getting this exclusive not for money, and that's the quote that he really talked about, was that he did not get money had by Sony, which everybody, including us, assumed. They just basically were working with him. They were excited about the game. Probably some of the guys that we know at Sony who know games and know indie developers.
Totally listen to the PlayStation blogcast, probably the last episode. I don't know. The one right after the PlayStation 4 got announced. There's a really good episode. That's a friend of the show, Nick Suttner. And Sid Schumann and those guys had a great episode
enemy of the show, Sid Schumann.
Well, I don't know Sid personally, but I like him. He's a good podcast host. And those guys talked to Jonathan Blow extensively about The Witness, and they talked to Yoshida as well about the PlayStation 4. So it was really interesting stuff to get more. That actually got me more excited about The Witness, that interview, than his presentation at the conference itself.
But you down with The Witness?
It's a sickness.
You're down with The Witness?
Check it out.
Speaking of the awkward ending of the PlayStation conference, the awkward endings, World of Warcraft, the film script, apparently with Sam Raimi attached, got kicked out twice by Blizzard.
I don't know why they want to make this movie. Like,
I don't know. That's a good question.
World of Warcraft has some interesting lore, but it's like...
Dude, because that many million people play it, and you put out a shit movie and make a shitload of money.
It's going to make a lot of money, sure.
People love pandas.
Kung Fu Panda already did come out, kind of the Wizard of War. Yeah, Wizard of War movie. Blizzard. Blizzard basically rejected it, which normally I'd be like, great, maybe they're not in for cashing, but it was Sam Raimi attached. I'm really surprised that they
has Sam Raimi done recently that was any good?
What has he done for you lately?
What has he done that's bad besides arguably Spider-Man 3?
Spider-Man 1.
Spider-Man 1 wasn't bad.
Dude, come on.
All of us New Yorkers stay together.
Superhero
Watch it again. That was fucking
whatever. Come on. Superhero movies are all kind of shit.
Did that get Let's you right just here, be real.
No. Superhero bad. Movies are just levels of dog shit.
I'm upset our listeners couldn't see JJ dancing while he
was PS4, the response in Japan. 50% of responders to a poll on Famitsu.com indicated they were either excited or very excited after the PS4 press conference. 32% expressed the opposite. For your math whizzes, that's 18% that we're not sure either way. People mostly seem concerned about price. This Japanese analyst is saying that his is technical analysts price the components, JJ, as our resident technical analyst, at about $1,073. What do you think about that?
That sounds not that right, but I mean, it's going to be expensive.
Speaking of not right,
it's going to be glorious.
Speaking of wrongs being done, the PlayStation Vita price is not happening in North America. Says again, Shuhei Yoshida, it's a matter of economics. The current exchange rate is the reason they cut the price in Japan from about 270 bucks to about 215 bucks.
They're just giving up, I guess.
And it's still 250 in America. It needs something. I mean, maybe it's not the same reason that you do it in Japan, but maybe the reason should be it's not selling anything.
Yeah, they need to drop that price.
Well, they also need software. At least Japan had that booby game that everybody likes.
That everyone bought, apparently.
A lot of people also bought Vitas for, apparently, PSO2 because sales...
Makes sense.
What do you call when something goes six times something?
Sextacular.
There you go. That's like the Halo announcer version of it. So to put that in perspective, 3DS still outsold it, even on this week of the price drop.
Right.
And it was selling out places, the Vita. I thought the numbers were actually going to be a lot bigger. But that's about, like I said, six times.
It's
normally running really low under PSP, which is selling about.
It's kind of like that tallest midget thing, right?
Right.
Like it's not.
Yeah.
It's a great headline, like six times normal sales, but it's like.
It's 80 this week.
That being said, I don't think Sony ever intended that they would beat the 3DS in sales. And
Serious?
I mean,
before it came out, are you kidding me? Go back and read some tweets from friend of the show, Darb, and see what their attitude was. Around the time of the ambassador program, man, they were like
around
vultures.
Okay.
Licking their lips. And I was like, you guys
and they did the same
don't
thing
even
with PSP.
Fucking know it's going to be worse for you. Yeah. I mean,
I think around the time the Vita actually came out, I think that they had probably tempered their expectations, regardless of what they were saying in public.
Right. Well, one guy is saying in public very nice things about Vita. This Retro City Rampage creator guy is saying that his game is sold best, actually, on PSN, which is a weird thing.
Well, that's where it came out first.
Especially not now. Well, I guess that is it, and they definitely pushed it hard. So, yeah, they didn't talk about
Sony
release dates.
Helped, yeah.
But it was, but it didn't have a big exclusivity window, right? It's on Steam and XBLA.
Xbox came late, basically.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, one thing is now, I bet his fucking sales drop off like a rock after people are like, oh, guess what? You're not going to be able to play your PSN stuff.
That's another thing. Like,
well,
I kind of temper
it on
my purchases
and you can
now,
get it on.
Right? Yeah.
I definitely temper my purchases, especially for like full games.
Totally.
Like, are you going to buy full downloadable games from
I can't imagine they would be that stupid that they won't let it. Well, you're talking about full downloadable like retail games? Or
yes.
You just. Oh, well, the retail games, I don't know. But I mean, as far as like the typical PSN stuff, like indie games, I could see that definitely coming over.
But they're not committing to it. I mean, like maybe when, you know, Dave Perry figures it out in his lab.
I forgot to mention, but I like Dave Perry's accent. He looks like a Miami gangster.
His accent from where?
He has an accent. I don't know where it's from.
From where?
From
he has
when,
a bit of a of
where
a
do you
boxer's,
think he's from?
Miami.
Oh, okay. You mean his American accent.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He did have a very like soft kind of like former boxer's like speech pattern. It was kind of interesting and weird, right?
Former boxer
is like
a polite way of just saying like somebody looks like
I was thinking
like
more like he looked like a character out of Miami Vice.
It was lovable.
Okay.
Yeah. Did he have white shoes on?
Anyway.
So speaking of the Wii U, Near Field Communication, NFC.
The stuff Iwata promised and like nobody knew they were developing.
So so basically they're starting to make, Miyamoto's doing interviews now for some reason. Maybe they're trying to drum up noise. I don't know what it's around, but it's starting to come out. One of the things they're talking about is this year they're going to start talking about the NFC stuff. They're not saying it's going to be Pokemon. It's going to be Pokemon.
Yeah.
They're not saying it's going to be E3. It's probably going to be E3. But they're saying it could be. They do these directs now, so it's not necessarily going to be E3.
Right.
There's interesting bits from an interview that's done on GameSpot from friend of the show, Giancarlo.
Marini.
That where he talks about Pikmin 3, and it's like, I don't really set out to make games that use every aspect of the system, but that said, I think the game works best on this system because of this, that, and the other thing. Not any bombs dropped, really, but about the retirement, he elaborated a little bit, that home retirement flubbub.
He's going to be talking about that till he actually retires.
Do you think it's not happening, for sure?
No, it's not. I mean, it's happening at some point, of course.
Right, but not not before.
The headline was just a sensationalist take on what was like an innocuous comment.
Right,
my whole thing. And so I think friend of the show, Bill Trinan, was there this time for the sake of Nintendo's stock price, was there interpreting. And, you know, the question came up again, okay, so what's kind of the deal? And Miyamoto responded, you know, this year I'm turning 61. For me not to be thinking about retirement would be strange, but the fact and the number of projects I've worked in, the value of my work hasn't changed at all. Instead, what he's doing is he's kind of pretending that he's not working on some of the projects so that people on those projects take responsibility. I'm paraphrasing here.
Sure.
Take responsibility and step up. And so it's not always asking like, hey, so should I do this or should I do this? Should I do this? Should I do this?
He doesn't like to micromanage anymore.
Don't even ask me. And just
no more
just
tables being upended.
And sorry, just to clarify, I thought you were talking about Iwata retiring. So that's what I was talking about.
Oh,
about
no, that's fucking bullshit.
Yeah, there's a ticking clock for Iwata.
I already understood the whole Miyamoto thing getting taken way out of context. But
The Iwata thing was like a misinterpretation, like not to Japanese to English because it came from a Japanese newspaper, but and then like further complicated by an actual misinterpretation kind of what was said. I've looked at it both, and even the translation in English didn't really say like Iwata was going to. I mean, obviously, if the Nintendo tanks for a number of quarters in a row, like then he's going to come under question. But after one bad thing, it's not like, you know what, I might have to retire over this. Like.
Right.
Nobody is going to.
Yeah, I can't imagine Nintendo without Iwata. Like
Yamauchi survived the Virtual Boy.
There you go.
Yeah.
There's your another t-shirt.
Yep.
Yes.
I survived.
I still believe.
Hopefully, Masahiro Sakurai will survive his bum right arm, JJ.
Poor guy.
In order to finish Smash Brothers. He's having problems, as reported by Kevin Gifford on our Polygon.com. Apparently, like, he's got some fucked up stuff with his ruptures in the muscles in his hand. Ooh. He's got chronic dull pain in the elbow too.
That sounds awful.
And he either has to block it with injections or just has to not use it. And so he's like using a trackball. He's using his left hand to brush his teeth like a dog. JJ.
I'm left-handed.
Like a dog brushes his teeth.
I brush
like
my
a
teeth
fucking
with my left
subhuman.
Hand. That's really mean.
Brushes his teeth. So, yeah, he's basically saying he's a workaholic, known to be a workaholic. He's basically saying, like, now he's having trouble playing the game. And
how
says,
can anybody give the next Smash Brothers a bad score now? Like, when you take into consideration
terrible,
it was made by this guy who, like, almost crippled himself.
Yes, for your enjoyment.
He had to go left-handed.
if this disorder lingers, he says, or if it never gets fixed, there's no telling what impact it would have on the project. Oh my god, it's keeping him from playing Metal Gear Rising Revenge and JJ, which I hear is a pretty amazing game.
Yeah, it's okay.
Pokemon Studios Harmonite is being made by a white guy. That's kind of cool.
That's very cool.
Put that one down.
Yeah.
Metal Gear Rising Revengeance downloadable VR missions, which are free, coming to PS3 March 12th. This is actually pretty cool. They're available for free. So they came.
Yeah.
No, they're coming March 12th. I don't know what day it is. Until April 3rd. And then there's also other DLC with the Metal Wolf. They have it written as Metal Wolf. LQ84i. What a cool name.
What an awesome name.
Desperado Cyborg, Jetstream Sam, JJ. That is coming.
Sam's a cool character. I want to just say one thing. I think it's really funny how like there are computers laid out through all the game where like you can get VR missions from. Like, who puts those computers there?
And
dude, it's the future, okay?
David Hayter, speaking of Metal Gear, is taken to the Twitter in what is becoming a pattern for Metal Gear voice actors.
Metal Gear
is kind of seemingly trying to hold like Kojima and Konami and Koji Pro ransom, being like, informal poll, how would you react if I didn't play Snake in the next Metal Gear? Of course,
are you serious?
Yes, his fucking Twitter followers, asking them.
It's informal, Mark. It's okay. Yeah.
Even so, 12% said no big deal, which I think is kind of funny. 64%
I hate you.
Did say sad, angry, and then would not buy 24%.
Oh,
and that's,
please.
That's a,
who did the math on that?
Massive 303 people surveyed. But the thing is, really? I mean, I think he's good, but it's
people
like
are just used to him.
This is like the Raiden who you were talking about earlier. fucking did the same thing where he like came out and did interviews like, oh, I don't know. I haven't heard anything about it. I haven't. And we don't know. We have no inside knowledge of this thing. But that's like a really lame way to go about your fucking business.
Oh, of course. Yeah. It's like, yeah, airing your dirty laundry right. in public.
And it's just so obvious. Like, yeah. It's like if you, you know, if there is that outcry, it should be obvious and precedent. And you can use it. I understand you got to negotiate. You got to have leverage or whatever. And I don't know for a fact that that's what's going on here. But fuck, man.
Yeah.
But what he, else could it be?
Isn't he busy with Republic anyway right now? Because he was supposed to
Republic.
Be a Republic.
Nah. I mean,
I don't think that's like a.
He's gonna do that, but
it's fucked
like,
up though. Because like,
it's not gonna keep him busy for like.
As much as David Hayter is kind of like really, really like overplaying it recently, like it's like. You wouldn't want to hear Optimus Prime without Optimus Prime voice.
Yeah, exactly. I agree
100%. And I think it's all script too. Like, I think he's capable of great stuff. I think he does, you know, Hollywood scripts. I think he knows a good one from bad. I think I like the guy too. Personally, what I know of him, I just thought this was kind of lame.
Yeah.
It's just an odd thing to do.
Punk How would you from react Resident Evil is in Lost Snake Planet 3 as a GameStop pre-order, which I thought was kind of funny. I
saw an ad for Lost Planet 3 and I was like, oh, that didn't like come and go already, because I, you know,
it was good.
I probably
at TGS.
Won't notice.
A friend of mine pointed out one of the characters in the game kind of looks like Ben Judd.
Really?
I don't know.
Maybe that's intentional.
Yeah.
Does his or his balls hanging out of his thing?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Free to play ball.
I think it'd be great if Hunk is like wakes up and is like, what the hell am I doing here? Like, what's going on? Like, actually plays in character. Like, what the fuck? What's going on? Why am I on a planet of ice? Shit, it's just running around the whole time. Like, what's going on? He's not even shooting guns or anything. He's just like, what the fuck is going on? God of War extension is gonna.
Extension.
It's gonna have a co-op mode. It is basically
it's
my
so appropriate.
God of War extension.
So appropriate.
It's gonna have co-op multiplayer, basically like a Horde mode or Halo thing. Thief 4, which I mean, the last one was a while ago, 2004.
That sounds exciting.
Yeah, it's like an IP that has a cachet for reasons that are no longer relevant because Ken Levine and Looking Glass people probably not there, but we'll see. I mean, maybe they can do interesting stuff with
it's like their Assassin's Creed.
Speaking of interesting older property, Shenmue 3 Kickstarter.
Yay!
Let's make that happen, people.
Interesting. Yay!
Speaking of Kickstarter,
is the Kickstarter going to be for like $75 million, like the last game?
Yes,
maybe.
How much of that will you be contributing?
You know, there are Kickstarters that have gone pretty
interested
high.
In it, but
not that high, dude.
Can't say any more than that. But that would be cool.
Well, I think a lot of those Kickstarters, they get funding after the Kickstarter too.
Yeah,
like people. Yeah.
Speaking of lots of Kickstarter money, Skullgirls raking it in. Thank you. Let's give them the A4 bump, people, because we are involved once again with helping coordinate the music with Michiru Yamane, ex Castlevania composer, who did fucking awesome stuff on the first Skullgirls game. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, support that. People are already. I don't even have to say anything. It's already at like 320,000.
Yeah, I can't believe how fast that blew up.
Yeah, those guys, they have a great fucking fan base, which I think is what our friend of the show, Peter, who's now CEO of that stuff, called it.
Props
more
to
Walking
man.
Dead is coming. Oh, speaking of Kickstarters, real quick, too, and the A4 bump, let's give it to Black Wave.
Yeah.
Which, search for that, but it's a Bento Books. Story about, it's like a thriller set in the aftermath of the great... You know, Fukushima, the Tohoku earthquake,
which is coming up on
two years ago.
This Monday.
Yeah,
this coming Monday.
Up, yeah, this Monday.
That's a novel, by the way. It's not a video game.
That's a novel, and it's being handled by our friends of the show and other fellow translator trench warriors, Alex O. Smith, Tommy Gonzalez, Joseph Reeder. Final View. I know them from like Final Fantasies 10, 11, 12, back when they were good. Vagrant Story, Phoenix Wright, that kind of stuff. Those guys are awesome. Definitely like check it out if it looks interesting, and I think it will if you listen to this podcast. Like give them a little bit of change, even a little bit helps, and 84 cents on the end just to let them know which side the bread is buttered on. Dota 2 JJ update, I don't care.
I put this in here because they're adding tutorials now, so people can learn how to play the game.
Okay,
that's a big deal.
People who are not assholes to play with too.
Well, it's actually single player, but I have free copies of the game. If someone wants one, you can contact me on Twitter.
It's single player.
I want one.
Okay. EA Origin. I haven't really been following this, but apparently people are pissed about it. Scores are changing.
So like basically nobody can play the game, and Polygon reduced their score from a 9.5 to an 8, and a lot of people are pissed.
Valve distributing Steambox prototypes in the next 3 or 4 months. That's a little too late probably for me to wait. I have to buy something to hook up to my TV just to do shit like soon. So I don't think I can wait, which sucks because I want to, but whatever.
Okay.
Speaking of EA, DICE is experimenting with the Oculus Rift headset, which we should have here this month, I think.
When?
Yeah,
and I don't know.
And Ouyah.
It might come
if it comes when you're not here, can I open it and play with it?
I'm going to think about that.
Okay.
I'm going to think about that. I'm going to think about that because I really fucking, well, yeah.
You want to unwrap it?
I might have to be like a 12-year-old kid.
It probably is going to come here when you're out of town.
It is yours. It is yours.
No, I think I will let you, but.
What?
Yeah, let me think about that. Hopefully it won't come while I'm gone. Unity guy, co-founder, moving on to make games with Unity, which I think is kind of funny.
It's hilarious.
IGN, what I created is so amazing.
Canceling
I'm just
an esports tournament,
it.
Which is going in the opposite direction.
Yeah, IPL, IPL 6, you know, the IPL series is a really big series of, you know, esports competitions. And, you know, they get bought off by Civ Davis. There's like almost less than a month left until this thing was about to happen, and they canceled it, and they're giving people refunds. It's really fucked up.
Why?
Ziff Davis.
No, but I mean, come on. They,
I don't know. They give like a
That's
really
your
shitty
for everything.
They today. Give a really shitty.
Yeah, you have bad
reason.
Service at a restaurant. Ziff Davis.
Now there are more tournaments than ever before competing for people's time and attention, so we're no longer in a position to commit to the resources required to run another major
independent
event.
Basically, they didn't sell enough.
Yeah, we never actually, you know, we're kind of out of time today, too, but we never really poured one out for 1UP, did we?
No, we need to do a proper send-off. That actually happened the day that our podcast went out, but the day after we recorded.
Right, right.
And actually, I would love to do something more formal.
Maybe we could do something when they're in town. Oh, yeah. Well, that's right.
Like kind of a memoriam retrospective
we found
on
that
his
out
stuff
yeah, during, the podcast.
So
I have to say I'm really enjoying all the tweets from Ryan O'Donnell where he's like taking clips from the
One Up
show and
there's totally. So many awesome man there's like so many like would be really great stories too that
we're gonna
been
go
told too I would somebody needs to well Robert
De Niro.
Yes.
I know
Robert
De
Niro,
Ashley.
who edits a podcast called Life Well Wasted, which kind of started at the death of EGM, would do well to do it. He said he was editing
That's
one.
That's true,
again,
actually.
So it would be awesome to do a 1UP thing because, man, that place was just talent central. Like,
but yeah.
So many good people right now.
We're actually going to we're going to see Jose later tonight, who was also
stuff.
One of the guys
That's right.
So if you have an awesome writing job or need an awesome writer, look him up because he was really great.
Ray Barnhold, too, friend of the show. Like, these guys are doing, you know, odds and ends stuff, but like, these are amazingly talented guys. So there's like a glut of talent right now. Skulls of the Shogun. Speaking of talents, Skulls of the Shogun is now gotten a reduced price, which is pretty cool. It's now 800 Microsoft Allards or whatever, and not 1200, which basically $7 for the Surface, which was 10. Blah blah blah. Awesome game. We worked on it. Please play it. Let us know what you think. It's fun. Let us know that you think it's fun. Japanese platformer cult hit Umihara Kawase getting 3DS sequel.
That is awesome. Super excited. We talked about it
YouTube,
only a few weeks ago, months ago, whatever.
YouTube, the Game Center CX episode of that. It's great. Actually,
oh shit, this is that game.
Yeah.
Dude, this is the where you have like
game,
a
dude.
Yo-yo.
Yeah.
Fishing pole.
That's a fishing pole. Holy shit, that game was crazy.
Yeah, dude. We talked about it, I think, maybe on the Super Nintendo episode or something.
Yeah.
I forget.
Yes. Yeah, Super NES in 1994. PlayStation in 1997, followed by when the sequel came out. Coming out this summer.
Nobody could ever pronounce the name back in the day, so it was affectionately known as the fishing pole game.
Oh,
awesome.
It's Umihara Kawase.
Yep.
That's really cool.
That's the girl's name, actually.
And it actually takes you to a randomly boring, it's a really boring name in Japanese.
And she's like, you know, 20 years old now or whatever. She was like a little girl in the original, now she's grown up.
Oh, she has gigantic boobs.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Hey, man, there's lots of opportunity
for
hilarious. Physics there.
Yeah. Well, so people don't know, it's a, like a, I don't know what you call it. It's kind of like Super
like
Meat Boy, except that it's like a physics-based thing with a... Yeah,
the
like
speed, really great tight controls.
The speed runs for that are impressive. Let's just put it that way.
They might be doing an Ace Attorney Collection for 3DS. Well, and finally, in Monster Hunter news, God bless you, makes a return in Monster Hunter 4 coming this summer.
I hate that dude.
In Japan.
Not even because he was hard, just because he wasn't fun.
I want to. You'd be happy to know that he has caught the feral wyvern virus, John.
Yeah, they've showed pictures of all the new monsters or the old monsters with that virus, and they look pretty badass.
And it can spread to players, which will in turn affect their natural recovery rates, JJ.
Yeah,
and it can only be reversed by repeatedly attacking the monster because.
We know,
why?
Mark.
Kunga.
Why does attacking the monster that gave you a disease reverse?
It forms antibodies.
Okay. We'll have to fix that when and if we ever translate the game, which would be fun if Capcom were listening. thing. finally, Monster Hunter Ultimate 3.
Coming up on that release, huh?
Yes.
Demo's out there.
Coming up.
Everybody's confused.
March 22nd. I'm sorry, that's for our European friends. March 19th right. in North America. I didn't mean anything by that.
Or did you?
What did you say?
Don't worry about it. So the patch is going to enable, this is awesome, off-TV play on the Game Pass.
Very nice. Yay. Very nice.
Also,
awesome.
In response to community feedback, unquote, this is going to unlock cross-region play, which is very cool because the Japanese players are the nicest.
Except not for Japan.
It's only cross-region between Europe and America.
Because
Japan has like those special collaboration gear items and stuff from like JoJo's.
I would trade the JoJo stand cha cha outfit for my.
I want to play with our listeners and I don't want to start over again. Like, come on.
Yeah. I don't want to have to spend $500 on a Wii U.
Also, those of you who played the demo, a lot of people had really positive feedback. Obviously. I would want you to play them both, buy them both, but the Wii U version is definitely the way to go.
It's the one you can
and,
read.
If you have to choose one.
Yeah, the font had nothing to do with us, let's just put it that way. Yeah. But the 3DS font is hard to read. But it's a great, great game. We'll talk about it more very soon.
There's also some pretty awesome Fire Emblem DLC rolling out, right?
Yeah, every week. Yep. The free DLC is gone now, but every week there's been a new map. There's been loads of spot pass stuff. I'm trying to keep up. I beat the game. I did all the DLC so far. I'm trying to beat all the spot pass download characters now. I'm at 50, 60 hours.
Wow, man.
It's so very nice.
And it's back on shelves. Cha-ching. Back on shelves now.
And selling well. Selling briskly.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the kind of game you want to have forever and on your.
Dude, there's a Gaff thread the other day, which I mean, I think this is a little crazy, but the Gaff thread was like, is Fire Emblem Awakening the best handheld game ever made?
Right.
No, dude.
I love those threads.
I mean, that's great, but.
I love those fake accounts we all have to post that.
JJ, tell your mom we said thanks.
Yes. Finally, so yes. And because Brendan is leaving, we are hiring maybe. So yes. If you're listening to this podcast and
you're awesome.
Got what it takes, send a resume to what? Info at 8-4-JP. You can find it on our website along with other stuff. But wait, don't say that stuff yet, JJ, because this weekend we're going to be at Bit Summit, which we talked about maybe a little bit before, but something that... we helped put together along with the main people in charge, the guys at Q and James Milkey, friend of the show. Really cool Japanese indie summit. Some good people from Sony and Steam and all over the place. Tyrone Rodriguez, all coming out for this. Support Japanese indies. It's a smaller event, but it's got potential, and we're definitely.
And this is the first one. It's going to be
the future.
Going
yeah,
on. Yeah,
an
yeah.
annual thing.
We're
going to
make it awesome.
So
sounds
gonna,
like a lot of fun, guys.
Kyoto. Yeah, it should be fun. Should be a lot of fun this weekend. Hey, you could have come. No, you're telling me you're going to give up a weekend with your.
I
family?
Don't have the money for a trip like that.
Wow.
I was going to say, though.
I'm just going to leave it.
Yeah. I was going to say before we
went into silence for a long time.
I was going to say before the Bit Summit thing,
please spell check your emails.
Thank you. And your cover letters.
Yes.
And impress us.
Yes.
It's true.
It's really serious.
But dating back to the EGM days, we would throw out resumes if there was a typo in your
also be fun reasonable. We are not a very strict and rigid company. Have a little fun with your yourself.
You couldn't see JJ do the strict and rigid little dance that he did
right.
With his arms at his side.
Exactly.
Let's say where people can find us, I guess.
We're at 8-4.jp and our second home at giantbomb.com. You can find us on iTunes. Just search for 84play. Leave us good reviews. We are also on the Facebook at 84 Limited, I think.
8-4.
Yes. And we all have the Twitters. I'm SPRSK.
I'm at Mark MacD.
I am John TV.
I am Brendan Beyond, which I will continue to tweet even after I have left the great 8-4 family.
Even after he's dead to us.
It's not like he's actually dying. He's just dying in our hearts.
In our minds. Yeah. In our hearts. No. But seriously, Brendan, thanks again for everything. I seriously don't know what we're going to do without you as far as work perspective, but also from the podcast perspective. We're going to have to roll some people in here to to play some games, right, I guess. Right.
Yeah,
some
video
of
games.
Those Japanese games.
You guys
games.
Really ought to try those.
There's going to be a distinct lack of cat t-shirts in the office for
that's
a while.
True, too. Well, right now I'm wearing a dog t-shirt.
That's true. Technically,
I won't have anybody to complain about Republicans with during lunch.
That's true. We have our political
arguments.
Well,
you'll have arguments. Chris. You'll have other
that's right.
different people.
It won't so. Be the same.
That's true. It will not be the same, Brendan. So thank you again. And
thank you.
I think it's only appropriate that we let you have the final word.
Well, it's been absolutely a blast being on the podcast. It's been great getting everyone's feedback on Twitter, and I actually do peruse NeoGAF, though I don't have an account, so I've been reading you guys.
A lurker.
I'm a lurker. It's been wonderful. Thanks a lot, and see you around.
Tonight's the night we'll make history. Honey, you I'll take any risk to tie back the hands of time and stay with you here tonight. I know you feel these are the words. I do believe it's true. When people lock their doors and hide inside, rumor has it it's the end of paradise. But I know if the world just passed us by, baby, I know.
Hello everyone, I'm Scott, president of Domino's Pizza. Have you heard of Hatsune Miku? Today I'd like to announce a new collaborative project featuring Hatsune Miku. Domino's app featuring Hatsune Miku. Hatsune Miku exists in a software called Vocaloid. Vocaloid enables you to produce songs. A character named Hatsune Miku sings the songs you create. A great feature is you can create songs as you like. I knew our talented Domino's Pizza crew could work together and create great Vocaloid songs. Bokuro Pi, Eshi, Chokyoshi, Furitsukeshi. Everyone! Amazing Vocaloid songs have been created with the fantastic imagination of the crews from all over Japan. The challenge was successfully carried out, and this new collaborative app was produced. Based on Miku's image, the Domino's app changes its appearance. A lot of music and illustrations produced by Domino's crew are here. From the menu to the order, it looks very cute. just like Miku. Once your pizza's delivered, have some fun with Miku. It comes with a social camera function and you can take various poses, pictures of Miku. Very cool. And last but not least, the live performance. Start the pizza stage live and point the camera towards the pizza box, and the pizza box will turn into a live dancing venue. A live performance of Love for Night, produced by Domino's crew. Here we go! Let's enjoy the rest of the performance with the app.